Spaceboy is a terrible game.
I've seen
game.
You play Kerbal Space Program.
I know, I fucking love Kerbal Space Program.
Actually, no, I remember the first time you landed on the moon, you shat yourself with excitement.
I was so happy.
Literally.
Yeah, literally. You spent like 2 days trying to do it.
Yeah, because you
and
your...
You did it. Yeah, no, because, yeah, with my dad.
And you came in the door and you're like, hi, Will. And I'm like, hello, I'm sorry, I can't do anything right now. I'm landing on the moon.
You made me turn around and you were like, fuck off, this is important.
It was like, you know how they say...
We were like, we were in this room because your computer's in the other room. Mm. And we just hear like, yes!
It was one of the greatest moments of happiness of my entire life. You know how they say that when Neil Armstrong landed on the moon, his heart rate, it was like 180 or something like that. I reckon I was around that ballpark.
I don't want to compare myself to Neil Armstrong.
But I'm basically Neil Armstrong. You would have given me that thing and I would have landed it, no problem, after quick loading a few times.
Yeah. That's the issue.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of quick great loading. Historical moments in human history, welcome to a very special edition of
the
It's
Christmas
All
edition. I'll what's the time now? We're at 5 minutes. I will put some like jingle bells in.
I want to hear, you know, some music and sleigh bells.
Yeah.
Where not only is it the special Christmas edition, but it's also episode one of our Game of the Year discussion.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Alex.
I'm Ben.
I'm Will.
I'm Jonathan. I love it how we just choose like a random order.
Yeah,
it
doesn't matter.
Like it was Ben, Will, me, and then Alex.
Well, I very nearly jumped in and talked over Ben.
No, no.
That doesn't matter.
They don't care about the order.
No, they don't care about
the order.
Our one listener. We love you, by the way, one listener.
We don't have any listeners. Seriously, send us an email. If you're listening, one email, please, for the love of God.
But maybe if we put our podcast into a category on Podomatic, that would be a start.
I thought it wasn't it.
It's
not
in
on Podomatic.
Oh, okay. It's in a category on iTunes.
Share it on Facebook.
Did you?
Share it again.
Been sharing?
There's more episodes. It hasn't come up when you've... Anyway, whatever.
Okay, I've been sharing it.
This is episode four?
Four.
Yeah,
yes.
Sure.
Sorry, avid listener.
It's canon.
Yeah, last week we had stuff going on. But welcome to the next podcast.
We really need to change that.
It's going to keep going.
It's going to get very confusing.
We have
got
a few scientific notations at some point.
So I think
before we get into things, what's everyone been up to this week?
Would you like me to start?
Or the last fortnight and a half?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, fortnight and a half. So I've been... last podcast I was talking about how I was playing Borderlands 2 and jumping back into it about, I don't know, I'm going to guess maybe 2/3 of the way through the game and I was completely not enjoying it. We decided at the end of that podcast it would be a good idea if all I did was play the game and ignore the side missions. I tried to do that, still not enjoying it.
I really love that game and I think it definitely benefits from playing through with a friend or somebody else.
Yeah,
maybe that would help. I don't know.
That being said,
I played through all Borderlands 1 just by myself.
Yeah, that being said, it shouldn't need another, because like any game is fun with another person.
Yeah,
yeah. Like,
you know, no. I disagree completely. Ben and I played System Shock 2, which completely
that
failed.
Game was
ruins
much
the
worse.
For
two
much
people.
Worse.
Also,
like,
don't play Magikarp with Ben.
No, it was
John.
Oh, it was John murdering everyone, was he?
Yeah,
he
and you kept blaming me. I'm playing the game just fine,
bro.
Like everyone else.
I'm sorry, bro.
John got bored and
John
me
gets
and then decided
bored.
To kill everyone. At which point we said, nah, fuck this, we're not playing.
It's like, I'm trying to talk some of my friends into playing some D&D, and I'm just like...
It's really good.
Because I really want to play D&D with them, and I'm just like, I hope they just don't, like, kill everyone. Because I was joking with a friend, and he was like, yeah, I just, like, rub my dick on the nearest guard. I'm like, don't do that.
No, it's too late, you did it, you have to deal with the consequences.
You force them
to do it. That's what I mean.
At which point they get attacked by guard, but the thing is, you got to have, like, enough confidence to be able to, like...
I once made a passing remark about the resemblance of a decapitated Etten's throat to that of the female anatomy.
You did, Nick.
Long story short, Etten blood is corrosive.
Ben lost something important from that, though.
I did, but I took ongoing damage.
So, I decided, okay, I've had enough of this. I don't think I'm going to be able to get through it. I got bored of move 10 metres, snipe a bunch of dudes, move another 10 metres, snipe a bunch of dudes, and I kept on just trying to run through shit, which was really not working as a tactic. Because I was playing as the sniper, so you're Mordecai. So you basically... No, it's not Mordecai, is it? The characters actually become the characters. Yeah, that's the one. And so I would go invisible and run like 100 metres, sprint 100 metres, and then my visibility would die out and I'd just get...
aggro everyone.
Yeah, aggro and die. So I stopped playing that game, and I, through Steam fan sharing, I grabbed one of Ben's games that he's had in his Steam library for a while and recommended that I play, which was Metal Gear Solid Revengeance.
Yeah, boy!
And solidly enjoying that game. Yeah.
I think you're up to the last boss.
Yeah. I'm having a significantly large amount of trouble with the last boss.
It's a pretty big difficulty challenge.
Yeah, I will talk about the things that I really like, and then I'll just talk about a couple of things that I find are a little bit irritating. Like, I really like the combat. Once I got the hang of it, the funny thing is it throws a tutorial at you first thing, which is pretty standard of a game.
The tutorial's not great. No. There are two key concepts in that game at all, and it doesn't explain either of them very well.
It explains them, but it never forces you to get them.
Yeah. No.
So it's like, hey, press this button to run and jump over shit. Okay, that's pretty straightforward. Okay, now here are dudes, do this. It was basically, it said, push thumbstick in direction of attack and press light attack in order to...
But you got to do it like at the same block. Time.
Now, once you start playing the game for a bit, you realize you can just spam it and you'll be fine. But I misinterpreted that as saying the direction of the attack as in the direction in which the dude was attacking, not the direction of the attack, which was really getting me confused for a while. But once I got the hang of that, a lot of fun. I really like the combat. It feels really great. It's just, it's wonderful to go into, what's the Zanpakuto or Zangetsu or
Zandatsu
mode and just slice a dude into 350 pieces. I'm limited to 350 pieces because when I get to 350 pieces, my graphics processor has a lot of trouble.
See, I got up to like 1,000.
Yeah, I don't have any problem. Yeah.
Okay, I get to 350 pieces and it starts lagging.
But it wasn't
particularly well ported.
Mm. And I do have all the graphics turned up the high, but the only problem, only time I find it's an issue is when I'm chopping a dude into thousands of different pieces.
How good is that
the big
level?
Tank fight?
No. The first level where the ray like swings its arm down, you parry the ray, throw it over your shoulder, and you run up the ray while slashing it.
My favorite bit has to be like that moment where you're just like, wait, am I playing this? Where you're sprinting down like the church building.
Oh, yeah. Well, the missiles flying everywhere. Have you played Bayonetta? Because you would love Bayonetta.
I played a bit of Bayonetta.
Bayonetta has like the exact same sequence.
It took me like... I've only played Revengeance for like 8 hours, I think, I have on Steam. And it took me like 6 hours to figure out parrying. So, like, I was just like, fuck, how do I do it? Fuck, how do I... Fuck!
You got 6 hours on Revengeance. I think of it the last boss and I got like 5.5 hours.
Yeah, because I didn't know how to parry.
No, it's not a long game.
And, yeah, I just didn't know what I was... I was still having fun, because you just mash square and just turn people into cubes.
Game fun, love the combat, the story is really fun, it's just... It's pretty classic Metal Gear Solid, it's just like nanomachines, and then something gets explained. There's a couple little complaints I got about it. One is there was a few things that I found really fucking annoying. When you get into a combat with a group of dudes and it like locks you into an area, which is fine, so you can't go pissing off and running off, that's fine. I don't mind that happens. When you finish the fight, it gives you a dialogue screen that gives you statistics and it grades you, which again, I don't care about. That's fine. I get a solid C. I don't really go for those kind of things, so it doesn't really worry me. But if you sprint and run to the end of the area, you have to wait for that dialogue box to be up for a little while and then skip through it and then like continue in order for the barrier to go down and for you to keep going. And I really just felt it completely interrupted the flow of the game, just like having to stand here at the edge of an area.
How long
before
does it take for the dialogue?
Like 5 seconds or so?
About the same time as something like that.
I just want to keep running straight through because it's right there. The area is right there. It's not like the game's loading in anything extra. It just needs to remove the barrier so you can keep going. Yeah. So I feel like that game should have removed the barrier as soon as you finish the fight, and then you can just keep running and your dialogue screen can come up at the same time. So that was a little minor annoyance.
You gonna play the DLC?
Have you got it?
it's built into the PC version, I think.
Mm.
Is it?
I thought it came free with the PC version. I'm not sure.
But can you get DLC through?
I say the DLC. On the console versions, it was DLC. I think it's just part of the PC.
Oh, right.
You play, it's like separate stories for Jetstream Sam and Blade Wolf, and they're not real long, but they're a lot of fun. And
that sounds like
got
fun.
A little bit of extra story. And
yeah, I gotta get in and.
It's good stuff.
I made the mistake that I do in these kind of games, which is something you really don't want to do in these kind of combat action combat games is like take 3 or 4 days off and then come back to it, because I was busy 3 or 4 days, so I didn't play anything, came back to it. It took me a little while to get back into the swing of it, which ended up with me being reasonably frustrated. So got to the last boss, beat him a few, had a few goes at him, realized that on the night that I was trying to fight him, I'd had a few too many drinks and it was proving a little bit too much of a struggle. So I, in the last hour that I had of that day, and I played a little bit since, I booted up Batman Arkham City. And I have a lot of fun that. It's like, it's like
Arkham Asylum. It's Arkham Asylum. That's the second one.
Second one.
There's three.
It's Arkham.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Arkham Asylum, but a bigger area, and I'm having fun with it.
That's good. Yeah.
I would love a mini map in the game, though. I would.
Yeah, I think it did really need. Yeah.
I would murder someone for a mini map in the game. Not in real life.
Batman would. You would go. You press X to murder, and Batman said, "No, I'm not doing that."
I would force Batman to do it. You can't. I would growl, hold someone at gunpoint and say,
"Alfred,
do it." Yeah, I'd hold Alfred at gunpoint.
You'd kill Alfred for a minimap.
I would kill Alfred for a minimap.
You get a batarang to the nuts.
I probably would.
Alfred is actually Batman. Really, you're Alfred.
He was.
Do I get, if I take like, the batarang to the nuts, do I get a minimap?
Isn't Batman the original Batman, or was there another completely separate Batman?
I'm pretty sure at least one point in 60s TV Batman, Alfred had to impersonate Batman.
Oh, okay, no, that's fine. I was just thinking, like, Alfred, it was, like, the previous Batman, but I'm thinking, wasn't Batman Batman?
The only problem I
it's
have
not
with...
like, it's not like Spider-Man or anything else where, like, the torch gets
Spider-Man.
Passed. Yeah.
Only problem I have with Batman is when you're playing a Batman game, you really feel like you are playing the most boring character in the game.
Batman. Yeah, but Batman never had
Batman's
a huge
so
amount of character.
Batman's Batman. I mean, you get Catwoman bits where you get to play as Catwoman. And
Batman
I kind of like the combat. She's got far more personality than Batman does.
Big personalities.
But anyway. So that's what I've been doing as far as gaming. I also went and saw Interstellar, but I think
we'll talk
leave
about
that
later, because
John
and I saw that too.
So... I'm going to throw the conch to you, Ben, so you can talk about what you've
been playing.
The conch!
The conch of truth! What shall we do now?
I don't know. The only thing I know how to do with a conch shell is to, like, summon Impact Goemon. But this week, I've been... I picked up Smash. Really enjoying that.
The Wii U version.
Yeah. I'd had played the 3DS version in the past, and it's more of that, but with real controls this time. So if
I have to play with a GameCube controller. I just can't play with any other controller.
Yeah.
My fingers go to the wrong buttons.
I'm adjusting to using the Pro Controller, but I do need to have a custom layout, and if I had a dollar for every time I've forgotten to set my profile on single-player modes, then I would have a few dollars at
least. Isn't that an excellent addition that they got in that game? You have to change your... You have to select your control scheme every time you start playing.
Instead at least it's not every game.
Every
just,
time you change mode.
Yeah. So it's not every
so
at
if
the
you
start
go,
of every
if you go
game.
Into, like,
it's
when we were playing multiplayer.
Oh yeah, I know.
The
we're just clarifying.
Yeah, no, but that still seems like
it is.
Shouldn't
yeah,
happen.
No, it's not good.
It shouldn't happen. How many monies have you spent on Amoebas so
getting,
far? Ben?
I was getting to that, and I don't know, and I don't know that I want to know. But I'm missing 3, and the second wave came out today. So I like them. They're fun. They
really
learn.
Good. Like the Princess Peach one's really good.
Yeah, the model quality is generally very high. There's a couple that are a little lower than the others. I'm a little disappointed with the Samus one, to be honest. Maybe it's just the paint job, but I don't think it looks real good. It hasn't really got any shading like on Mario, Luigi, the Villager.
Mm.
But for the most part, very high quality models.
Mm-hmm.
They're fun to play against in Smash. They're better than I am.
Yeah, they are.
You're one to talk.
I haven't even touched it. I'm bad at two types of games, particularly fighting games and platformers, and Smash is both of those.
Oh, you're going to start a fight calling Smash a fighting game.
Oh, it's okay.
What
it's,
else?
It's a fucking
be?
Fighting game.
It is a game with fighting in it. But
it's not
yeah,
what
like,
about.
Down B is a combo as far as
back,
I'm
back
concerned.
To a combo is more than one hit.
Is down B even a thing or is it an up B?
Yeah,
down B
is
a thing.
B is your special move and the direction affects which special move you do. So like
I broke a pen.
Good job. But yeah, I like how the amiibos unlock different things in
Oh no! No, it says Clifton.
This is gonna play real. This is gonna play real well on the audio.
So my pen has Clifton's written on it. Portlock because he's got a dirty mind. Yeah. Read it as Cliporus for some reason. I probably stole it from a hotel. That's where
thank you, Gilbert
from,
Gottfried. yeah, so I like how the amiibos unlock stuff in other games. I've got a bunch of costumes in Mario Kart. I'm gutted that I haven't got the Captain Falcon amiibo.
That's a phone call.
Excuse me while I take this.
The Captain Falcon amiibo, he unlocks a Captain Falcon costume for Mario Kart 8, so you can then dress as Captain Falcon in Captain Falcon's space car and go around the F-Zero stage and pretend that we'll ever get another F-Zero game.
That's really
cool. They unlock new weapons in Hyrule Warriors. The Link one gives you the spinner from Twilight Princess, which is a bizarre weapon choice, but you know, every day I'm getting free magic weapons and money, and that's great. And yeah, I'm interested to see what they're going to do with them in new games. I think they've announced that there's going to be compatibility for Captain Toad, Treasure Tracker, Yoshi's Woolly World, and Kirby Canvas Curse 2, which I forget the real name of.
Too much alliteration.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kirby's Canvas.
What's the spinner from Twilight Princess? Because I played Twilight Princess, I don't remember that.
It's like a spinning top, but with like cog teeth on the outside.
And there was bits in the levels that
you
would
surf on it.
You surf on it, and there was
that's right, across like the sand and stuff.
Yeah, so you get that as a weapon.
Wait, was it also the thing that there was like areas like in the wall?
Grooves in the wall.
Yeah,
and you jump
like,
onto
yeah,
it so you could
go. Yeah, no, I remember that. Yeah. How does that get used as a weapon? You just surf.
You ride it and you kick it at people, and it sort of like expands and stuff. It's kind of weird, but like they take a lot of creative license in Hyrule Warriors, and
yeah.
I think the game's a lot better for it.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying watching you play it. I know it's not my type of game, but I've been enjoying sitting there making commentary whilst drinking.
Smash or Hyrule Warriors?
Smash. I didn't really watch you play much Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah, I think you see one level in Hyrule Warriors.
You've seen a lot. Yeah. We had fun naming the amiibos.
Yeah, we got some great amiibos, like Mario is Ron Jeremy. And Donkey Kong is Conky Dong.
I'm a bear.
Why are you... Who was calling you?
That's my dad.
Oh, okay, we're going to need a full transcript of the conversation.
Oh, more Christopher, my other brother, is coming down, and he might be swinging by here for the Christmas dinner that we've got on.
Cool.
No,
he won't be here for dinner, but he might be swinging by.
Free food.
Yeah.
For a movie or something.
Yeah, so that's been my major,
your major
game
play.
This week. But I did pick up and have a little bit of a go at I Am Bread.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I saw it come to Steam and I was like, okay, so I am going to buy this, but I'm not going to buy it while it's in early access.
There's a fair bit of content in there for early access. Like, I'm up to the third stage.
It was made by the same people who did Surgeon, so I'm expecting it to be decent and not shit.
Yeah, well, I'm expecting a Team Fortress stage where you have to, like, toast the sandwich or something.
Yeah.
So Portlock, what have you been playing this week?
What I've been playing? I beat Final Fantasy X, finally, because I didn't play that for about a month. I bought myself... Jonathan doesn't know what I bought, so let's not spoil it.
Okay.
I bought myself something for Christmas, and I refused to open it until Christmas Day.
Makes me uncomfortable.
I
know what it is. It's not weird.
It's not weird. No. But I want to play that, but I figured I had to beat Final Fantasy X and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
I have Persona 4
Golden.
Can't
wait to crack it open.
Crack what open? The
fleshlight.
Oh, yeah,
we're saying
fleshlight.
That you've got a fleshlight.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Play it like bagpipes.
Yeah.
I don't want to... I'm upset with myself.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue.
So I figured I'd have to beat Final Fantasy X before I start playing anything else. And I've got Persona 4 lined up as well, but that's like 120 hours, so...
It's closer to 70.
70? Okay. But I want to do a bunch of the other stuff as well, so... Anyway, I don't have enough time between now and Christmas to play that, so I've been playing Danganronpa 2, which is really, really good. I played the first one, and that was good, but the cases were a bit... I have a bad habit, or a habit, of just, like, guessing everything that's going to happen. And
you really can't not do that in a game though.
But I do it for everything. So I guessed it pretty much all in a line. There are a few twists, but it was a pretty straightforward. But Danganronpa 2 so far has me questioning exactly what's going on. You think in the first game you have it all figured out, and then the second game would be like, oh, what? I already know all the mysteries behind it.
Would you like to explain the concept briefly?
Sure. So Danganronpa is like a murder mystery game. It's like a kind of visual novel crossword. It's like Phoenix Wright. But the premise is you're a group of high schoolers in the original game, stuck in a high school, and in order to escape, you have to kill one of your other classmates and get away with it. If you get away with it, you get to escape, but if everyone else figures out who the murderer was, you get killed.
Mm.
So it's a matter of figuring out who kills who, figuring out the like what's going on, why you're trapped there, and like who's got you there, and all this kind of stuff. So at the end of Danganronpa 1, you kind of figure it all out, and it's like, oh, okay, I get this. What is Danganronpa 2 going to bring? And there's enough stuff that comes back that's like, I don't know why this person's here. I don't know what this is here for. I don't know. Like, there are so many inconsistencies that don't quite add up. It's like, there's something wrong.
And they do play with your assumptions a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I assumed one thing, and it just completely changes it. So I think it's much better written so far. It's much more twisty. So I'm enjoying that. Again, lots more Wars of Draenor. I've done some of the raiding of the first raid. It's pretty good. It's just more World of Warcraft, which is fine.
World of Warcraft done well.
Yeah, and the expansion's still excellent. I'll do what I normally do, I assume, where I just play through most of the content and then stop playing and then wait for the next expansion, because I like the content, but you get burnt out.
Sounds healthy.
I'll probably do what I always do and wait till near the end of the expansion and just get carried through all the content.
Yeah, but I like a little bit of a challenge, so yeah. I don't want
to... I just want to see it. I don't want to have to fight for it.
Yeah, see, that's fine if you just like content during, but like for me, raiding is only fun when it's difficult.
That said, I did have to gear up and get into raids this month because I needed that core hound mount.
Yeah,
you and your damn aesthetic
things. Have you seen that mount?
It's pretty cool.
Beautiful.
It's pretty cool.
How long you grind dungeons in order to get a mount?
I'll get the Baron's mount one day.
Oh yeah, I got the Ashes of Allah for anyone who plays WoW, which is awesome.
Fuck you.
Yeah, I've been grinding that.
It's all right.
I've
got the Karazhan horse.
Yeah, you enjoy that.
I am enjoying it now that we're in a place we can't fly.
Yeah. The problem is, like, I have the Zul'Gurub Raptor mount, which is like super rare. So I've made an alliance character just so I can walk around as the Raptor and be like, "Hey, no one else has the Raptor. This is cool." Because everyone ignores it on the Horde because it's just another Raptor.
Which is a shame because, like, people see it and they'll just be like, that's a Raptor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a slightly different color. Anyway, we'll avoid that.
Yeah.
I finished, did I say I finished Rivers of London last?
You
fortnight?
Did not.
No, okay, so I read a book called Rivers of London, which is kind of like Harry Potter if it was, there was a police constable as Harry Potter. So he's like an apprentice wizard and there's some mystery going on. I thought it was really solid. Finish that. Would recommend it to anyone who likes kind of young adult fiction. It was probably a bit older because there was some sex and some violence, so maybe 15 plus, I would say.
Gasp.
But that was about it. Nothing too interesting for the rest of the fortnight and a half.
And sitting quietly reading and then playing WoW and then that's about it.
What have you been doing, Jonathan? I'm always excited to hear about what you've done
because
you're my favourite.
That's a little weird, but I said
it. Lay it on there.
I have bought a few things, including a new graphics card, which is irritating that it came with a copy of Far Cry 4 when I already bought Far Cry 4.
Ooh.
Fucking annoying. So I just gave that to a friend because he helped me fix it when installing the graphics card fucked my computer, which is a piece of shit. Because, computers aren't that hard to build.
It's just a big Lego set.
It's a big Lego set. You just, like, that looks like it fits in there. It does. Screw it in and then plug in whatever cables looks like it goes in there. And then that's it. And it works.
Yeah.
So,
well,
take up...
drivers, but yeah.
Drivers, yeah, but that's software. That's almost easier. So, I take out my old graphics card. I don't know where it is right now. It might just be on my floor. Put in my new graphics card. Hit the power button. Doesn't turn on. Hit the power button. Starts up for a second. Turns off. Hit the power button. Turns on. Whatever. We'll figure it out
later.
Yeah.
You don't say whatever when the power starts failing.
Works for a few days just normally. Like, power's on, power's off, fine.
Yeah.
It's like when you get that noise in your car and you're like, I just ignore it, it'll go away. And then 10 grand later, okay, it wasn't that much, but 2.5 grand later, you've had to replace the clutch and the fuel pump. Anyway,
it sounds like
you're
speaking from personal experience there and expressing a bit of anger.
Don't ignore the noise.
But anyway, it works for a few days, and then Monday comes around, hit the power button, nothing happens. So I'm like, okay, what's changed? All right, motherboard's getting power. Maybe the power button just isn't working. So I, check the connection to the motherboard for the power button. You know, try to short it, still not powering on. Just like, what's going on? Long story short, after 5 hours of that, I send a message to a friend, and I'm like, all right, can you give me a hand? Because I know you're better with computers than I am. He's like, yeah, sure, whatever. So he comes down and he brings a power supply and a whole bunch of other stuff to try and get my computer working.
It's good to have that friend.
He's very kind of him to come around. I gave him a free copy of Far Cry 4. For him, so.
And a hand job.
So, and a free handy. Handy's a hand. And long story short, we tried for about an hour to get it working.
Is this going
to
be something stupid?
No, it's not even that. Okay. Right? So we tried different power points in the house. Different jug plugs, which is the name of the cable which basically goes into the PSU. So from the wall to the power supply, right? Didn't work for either of the power points and didn't work for either of the jug plugs that I own. We were just like, fuck it, let's try this jug plug and let's unplug the GPU. So we plug it in and it works. And we're like, okay, but is it going to do that again? So yada, 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 unplug it, plug in the GPU, power it on, it works. We're like, okay. So to unplug everything, move it back to where my computer normally was in the house.
It's going
to
fail again.
With the same jug plug that we used before and the same everything, and it works. So nothing changed.
So you have no idea. Maybe the connection was a bit loose or something.
No.
No,
I tried for 5 hours to get this working, like jamming like the 24-pin and the 8-pin connector into the motherboard, like trying to get it working.
Mm.
Cannot for the life of me figure out what was wrong with it, and more importantly, why it's now working. Because
it's going to fail again. I can
change
tell.
Nothing. I can guarantee it'll fail. I've left my computer on as I came over here for the weekend because I don't want to come home and try to hit the power button and nothing happens.
You've got a good story about building a computer for someone, talking about how easy building a computer
it's
is.
Really it's just, I bent a couple of pins. It's fine, though. I bent them back into place.
Only one of them snapped off.
I built a computer for John, and when putting the chip in, the
CPU.
The CPU.
Oh, I hate doing that.
Yeah, they've got non-pin ones now. Or at least
the
better ones.
When putting mine in, it had this little like metal locking case thing.
Yeah.
And you were always just like, shit, am I going too far?
But it went in fine, but it wouldn't boot up. I'm like, oh, what's wrong? So I had to look at the thing, and it turns out when it had come through and when it got put down, some of the pins weren't properly aligned.
You just
so then
bend them back in.
Yeah, so I just bent them back in and put it in. It's fine.
And it works?
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, God.
John's computer hasn't failed. There's nothing wrong with it.
And a friend of mine has two computers, and every single time he starts up one of his computers, he just has to jam a screwdriver like against the motherboard to just short it out to start it up. His power button just doesn't work, and he can't keep placing it.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever
heard.
He's going to kill himself.
No, he's not. It's just, you're just bridging a connection.
You're shoving a screwdriver into a live electrical appliance.
As long as he only hits the bits he's meant to.
Yeah.
Doesn't go anywhere near, I don't know. How much power would be going...
As long as he doesn't kill himself,
he'll be
fine. Logic.
I'm just thinking, how many exposed leads are there really in a computer?
Are you seriously telling me that it's safe to jam a screwdriver into a live computer?
It's safer not to, but...
You're saying it's safe.
Is it what? A computer has...
Not dangerous. There's a difference between safe and not that bad.
Inside your computer, you've got a 12-volt rail, a 5-volt rail, and a 3.3 or something like that volt rail, don't you? None of that's going to kill you.
Okay, on a scale from
never
kill
to being safe,
I would hold the screwdriver with my dick. Where would you put it?
I'd use my hand.
Just once, I'd use my dick.
Again, there's a sliding scale, right? It's not, this is fine and you're going to die. There is some middle ground. Anyway.
Okay. Yes, maybe it's not.
Maybe
we'll
agree to disagree.
I'm right, because I always am.
Yeah, funny that.
Other than those issues with my computer, which I'll probably fix properly one day, I've been continuing playing some Far Cry 4 on my new graphics card, which looks a lot better than it did on a decent frame rate.
Is the port just not great?
The port isn't, like, great, but... Ubisoft is generally pretty shit with that. I don't know if you heard anything to do with Unity, but it was running at like 20 FPS averaging.
Goodness gracious.
I was like, wow, that's pretty shit.
But that's the best frame rate for an action game, though.
That's the latest Assassin's Creed game, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing.
It's because they built it in Unity.
Maybe. No,
sure, that's where they get the name from.
Like, as far as I was aware,
Assassin's
they were
Creed Unreal. Assassin's Creed Crytek. Assassin's Creed.
Well, why do you think that the DLC for Black Flag was called Freedom Cry?
Assassin's Creed.
Because they got to have Cry in the name. Yeah,
it's Assassin's Creed Java?
Assassin's Creed RPG Maker.
Yeah. That's better. But it's like a proper Assassin's Creed game. Yeah,
it requires the RPG Maker XP VX Ace RTP pack to run.
The RTP. Oh, that was such a bloody pain to... Anyway.
Like, there's a story behind that.
It was just back in the day, if you wanted to run like RPG Maker 2000, you had to install, or like any games made in RPG Maker, you had to install these packs.
Download the resources separately.
Yeah. Not worth worrying about, but...
Much like most RPG Maker games.
Some of them are alright.
Most
are not. Vast majority. There's a game being made in it that's really cool.
To the Moon was done in RPG Maker.
Not what I'm thinking of.
Bird.
The
something.
One with 666, something the...
Oh, the Persona-looking one.
Is it
It's not, like, stylistically.
No,
it's like
no,
4.
It's Radio the Universe.
That sounds pretty cool.
I have no idea what that is.
It's like a Zelda-style top-down thing with, like, jumping and dashing and... Anyway.
Dashing.
It looks really cool.
Dash jumping. Yeah,
you should go back and replay Link to the Past. That's a really fun game.
No, you should play Link Between Worlds.
A game. Oh.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that later. Because that's on a few lists.
If I wanted to pick a fight, I might say that it was better than Ocarina.
Yeah, it is pretty awesome.
Great, so now our one email that we're going to get is going to be hate mail.
We got to get it somehow.
We got to get an email.
So, have you been playing anything else, Jonathan?
I've been playing a few of the standard games that I play, you know, Hearthstone and Counter-Strike. Speaking of Counter-Strike, DreamHack Winter went through.
Yeah, I heard there was a bit of a shitstorm surrounding
with a massive shitstorm that got completely blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
So basically, for anyone who isn't familiar, there's a lot of accusations going around for teams that have...
DreamHack's a CS tournament. Or there is a CS...
There's a CS element to DreamHack.
The CS is the drama element?
Yes.
The Counter-Strike is the drama element?
Specifically Counter-Strike. Basically, a few teams have in the past, had a few accusations of hacking and aimbotting and whatnot that I think are a little ridiculous, but I know are true, that some of them are hacking. And recently, just before DreamHack, Will's playing footsies with me, I'm feeling uncomfortable. Recently, just before DreamHack, a few teams got banned from DreamHack because one of their players on either team was VAC banned for hacking. And VAC bans are... Backbands are solid. You don't get un-backbanned. Backbands are pretty final. They got banned and they got kicked off DreamHack and they got replaced with a few other teams which I've never heard of. One of them was a South African gaming team called Zimbardo. It sounded really cool. They didn't last very long.
You know what they should do? They should separate all the hackers into a separate league. I want to see like a steroid Olympics.
That's what they did for Titanfall. If you got banned for hacking, you got put on different servers.
Oh, there's a bunch of stuff for that.
Dota has like a broadcasted,
like
bring in the best hacks you can.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
They have some of that for, is it some Unreal tournament where, like, you, it's not quite the same, but you, like, build a bot and, like, you know, you try to like, hack as much as you can to build the bot.
That's pretty
and
cool.
And you fight the bots against each other. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's pretty interesting.
That's pretty cool. But anyway, yeah, no. One of these teams got a lot of accusations for hacking, and they did a pretty dodgy thing, which technically wasn't against the rules, but was very immoral.
Is this Team Fnatic?
Yeah. Fnatic did a thing called it's called pixel walking. Basically, means where you're walking on geometry that doesn't really look like it's there.
Okay.
So like you're like it's a pixel wide, but your character just sort of slots onto it like Tetris.
Sure.
And they found a boost that was clearly like, wow, that's game breaking, because they could see basically the entire map and they could predict whatever the other team was doing, and the other team couldn't figure it out because it was just like how the fuck. It also included a one way texture glitch, because you know how objects are textured on two sides sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, one side didn't have a texture, so you could just see right through the opposite side of the other texture. Whatever.
Gotcha.
So. Yeah, after like 6 hours or so of both of the teams asking for a rematch, it was granted, and then Fnatic just said, we're not going to do it, because they were just getting so flamed for all these accusations of hacking and this immoral boosting, and then a whole bunch of witch hunting went down, and a whole bunch of online bullying, and it was just fucked. But like, that was clearly the best decision they could have made. Like, there was no winning for Fnatic because
there was just losing slightly less.
It was. Hang on, I'll find the comment that I saved that someone posted. Where is it? Here. Yeah. Warning to DreamHack: should Fnatic win the rematch between Fnatic and LDLC, the outcry will be absurd. Should Fnatic win the entire tournament, I don't even know where to begin. So there was like no winning for them, basically.
Right.
I took like an entire page worth of notes because it was fucking ridiculous.
We probably don't need the entire
page. Yeah, no, you don't need the entire page.
I appreciate your information gathering.
I mostly just took these notes for myself because I wanted to keep track of it as it went on. But it was...
You can write a dissertation on it.
Yeah, no, it was pretty retarded.
Get published.
It was really disappointing as well because DreamHack ended on the 30th of November. And on the 1st of December, there was like no talk of, you know, the winner of DreamHack is, what was it? I think it was LDLC. Maybe it was NIP.
It's not important.
Can you say that?
I think there was Ninjas in Pajamas. Lol.
Didn't last very long.
Pretty shit. But there was no talk of, I'm really glad this team won. This was a few strategies. It was all Fnatic hate. There was no, that was a really good tournament. It was just, man, fuck Fnatic. Pieces of shit, man, the hacking. All this other bullshit. It was just like, man, just stop.
Stop.
Other than that, that was pretty much the biggest news that happens in my life.
Yeah.
DreamHack was fun. I enjoyed watching all the other games.
That was pretty much it.
I watched a few movies as well, but
yeah, we'll talk about Interstellar later.
Shall we discuss some news?
Sure, we'll go through the news as quickly as we can because there's a lot of like Game of the Year stuff to get through.
Yep,
just pad through it.
Did anyone watch the Eve ad?
I didn't.
Oh, how could you not watch that?
Because I didn't click on
it. You like space,
but I don't
Eve
like
space.
Eve.
Just no. But you like hearing about Eve, right?
I do like hearing about
then
Eve.
You should have watched it.
It was so cool. It almost made me download it and play it.
I want to like it. It's on special now on Steam. I want to play
it.
I've tried playing it like three times. I just can't. Anyway, so the Eve trailer is audio taken from like Skype and Vent.
Actual
players talking
about
the
actual
game. So it's
like the Unixie wipe animation.
Yeah, but awesome. Like, but it's like them talking about each other.
Strategizing. Like he's just like, you know.
Yeah. So we're gonna do this here. We're gonna do this here. You wanna jump in? You're gonna jump on these people, and we're gonna do this and this and this. He goes, oh shit, we've been ambushed. We've done all this stuff, and it's just like it's amazing. Ad.
The coolest thing by far is when you can see all of these ships. You can hear them all talking and they're strategizing. He's just like, all right, so when we warp in, you know, all fire on the Outcry ship and then break formation and shit.
Yeah.
And yeah.
They launch
in
and
the
it's just like missiles flying everywhere as they jump in.
Yeah. There's this massive fleet of ship and they just like warp forwards into this massive fight and it's just so cool.
If anyone wants to look at it, the trailer is called This Is Eve.
But the thing that makes it way more impressive is that it's all like,
and it's
it happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is all real stuff.
And I love the one where they jump in and it's like, there's like people waiting for them.
Yeah.
But they have the audio from the people on the other side as well.
Yeah.
So there are like two corporations, which are like guilds. And one of them's like this hyper tight, like, they know exactly what they're going to do. They have the strategy down pat. They're really hyper serious. And they're the ones ambushing. And then there's this other team who just, like, don't give a shit. They're just like, we're noobs and we have far more fun. So you hear these people, they're coming through, they're, like, jumping in, and they're just, like, joking around, like, oh, fuck, we've been ambushed. And you hear the people on the other side, so, like, oh, yeah, they turned up this, all in sequence. It's really cool. Anyway, so that's a really good trailer, I think, especially for an MMO. It's just, like,
It wouldn't work for any other game, I don't think. It wouldn't be nearly as...
No, I mean, WoW isn't quite as...
Well, because it's not cool when you're just like standing at the purple diamond RDPS to
it's
target
not,
this thing.
I mean, you could, but it's not quite as like
it's
grand
not
as Eve.
Not nearly as cool. Because
it's certainly nowhere near spectacle for someone sort of who doesn't know what they're looking at. Whereas a space battle is a space battle.
Yeah, there was that thing a while ago, that big fight. I think it was between the Reddit and 4chan.
No, it was the Goon Squad who are something awful and one of the Reddit.
Yeah, basically what I remember is that there was this big fight that went down and a whole bunch of the ships.
Oh, this is where like $13,000 of stuff got destroyed.
Was destroyed, and that's just like,
yeah,
like, Jesus Christ,
it's pretty impressive.
It's a huge battle. I saw a massive resolution screenshot of the fight, and it's just like, what the fuck is happening? I'm like,
yeah.
I've heard that you get in, these fights look amazingly impressive, but because server load has so much trouble dealing with it, they use something like a time dilation.
It's not necessarily the server load, but it's so that not everything happens right at once. So the more people in an area, the slower time goes in that area. And so everything gets slowed down, like super.
So if it gets really, really slow, everything's at like 1/10 speed or something like that.
Less than that.
Oh, it's less than that.
In a situation like that, it'd be like 0.05 seconds.
Jesus.
So everything's really slow, but I mean, it lets you really fine tune your strategy on such a big battle.
Yeah, it's not like you don't have time to react to stuff.
Anywho, so there's a Jurassic Worlds trailer?
I didn't put that on.
Who put that on?
I think that was me.
Is that a new game coming out for Jurassic?
No, Jurassic World's in Jurassic.
Why is it in the game section?
Why is it called next podcast notes?
Because it's the fourth podcast. I'll move it.
do you wish to comment? Too late. We're talking about that, Jonathan.
It looked pretty cool. It has Chris Pratt in it.
Oh, cool!
And he's kind of a man crush at the moment.
Yeah.
So,
along with everyone else,
he told me that melted ice cream can be used as a topping for ice cream.
Yeah,
not against that. I'm
watching Park and Rec recently.
I recently watched Guardians of the Galaxy.
Sure, all right.
Which is an excellent movie.
Yeah, it's really good.
I
haven't seen it, so we might not be able to talk about Jurassic Park or Jurassic World.
I just threw it in the game section mostly to fuck with Will. Apparently, but
how does it look compared to the
it? Doesn't look as good as the original, I don't think.
It's got Sam Neill.
Who's Sam Neill?
Oh, Jonathan.
I'm terrible with...
Get out of my house. Blue shirt, white hat. He was Merlin.
The original guy from Jurassic Park.
Yeah, the paleontologist. Oh, not Jeff Goldblum. Okay,
right. The stabby. He had the claw.
He's an Australian.
No, he's not. He's in New Zealand.
Yeah,
okay. He's a Kiwi.
He's New Zealand.
Yeah, he's so bad that the Kiwis don't want him.
I thought it was Australia. It's like all Australians steal everything good from New Zealand. It's like Canada and America.
I don't want your bloody chips.
Except for pavlova.
I'll take your pavlova. That's fucking delicious.
Mm.
Yeah. Fuck you.
Should have made a pavlova.
Meringue with... I can't be... Nah. I'm not making a pavlova, mate. I hate cooking meringue. It takes forever.
He made a trifle, which is basically to throw a bunch of stuff in layers.
Far more easy. I'm down with that.
The layers merge over the course of the cooking.
Yeah.
No. I jelly, like custard jelly cream, and I allowed the jelly to set to the point at which it doesn't mix. This is really boring.
Let's keep going.
So Steam is adding Steam Broadcasting, which when I first saw it, I thought, oh, okay, that's a really cool idea. Let's muscle in on the Twitch market. Steam's a big enough organization that you can do that. That sounds killer to me. Then I read the thing fully through, and it's like, oh, just your friends can watch you. And I'm like, all of my friends live here. If I want to watch what they're playing, I just look over their fucking shoulders.
This is what Valve do, where they roll something out on a small scale, and if it works, they expand it.
So you reckon it might become a game broadcasting platform?
Could very well be.
But with such a limited range of people being able to view it, is it going to be successful? Are people even going to use
this? Not necessarily that it's successful, but that the platform works, and you only need a very small number of people for it to be like, hey, the system does work. People maybe I think of course Valve being Valve, they know that it's not going
to
be as popular.
I mean, all I've got to do to get people to use it is like, oh, you get a streaming trading card.
Well, yeah, you get trading cards for watching, you get items for Dota, for watching Dota games, although they kind of do that within Dota anyway. So
yeah, I was going to say they do that for the big, you know, Valve CS:GO tournaments. Like if you watch, because you can watch the games live in game.
Yeah, you can like, do that with Dota too. Yeah,
yeah, you like choose your own camera angles and stuff. Oh, you can get items for watching it.
Yeah,
same Dota.
Yeah, you can do a bunch of stuff.
I think that'd be really cool if they expanded that to a few.
I think they it seems like the kind of thing that they might expand in the future, because that's.
I think it would be cool to be able to stream, but unfortunately, being in Australia, we don't.
Well, we might get the NBN.
Well, you guys are going to get the NBN overly shortly, but
yeah.
So far, over in my neck of the woods, it's seems unlikely to happen, which is pretty irritating. Although it is funny to find a friend who hasn't set their stream options to ask me to start streaming.
Yeah.
And find the see if they've just set it to just stream if somebody starts watching.
Okay.
And so you just fuck with their internet. I'm waiting for them to figure it out.
You're a bastard. You are an evil man.
Fuck that.
So,
so very Australian news.
Very Australian news. My hemorrhoids have cleared up. No, not
down under.
My bum.
So Target, who is the same as Target in the US for any potential
business, no, it's a department store,
and Kmart as well.
It's not the same as the US.
No, but it's basically the same thing.
It's like they sell like the same stuff, yeah. But it's
a different group.
It is like not Meijer and Target AU.
Well, no, it is important because it's separate from the US. Yes, but how is that relevant to the story?
Because
let's discuss corporation structure.
It's not important. The story is basically the same thing as Target in the US.
Same thing. Wake up, sheeple.
It's irrelevant. The story is that a store here, as well as Kmart, who is, I assume, just Australian, have removed GTA 5, as well as something else. I forget. They removed something else from sale as well.
Didn't care. Someone petitioned that they stopped selling the Bible.
They said, we don't sell
the Bible. But they don't sell the Bible. So that was 40,000 signatures of...
But it wasn't about them actually removing the Bible.
Yeah, no. But I mean...
I know they couldn't have done the research, but they weren't actually trying to get them to remove the Bible.
Yeah.
So basically... Some Christian women's mothers group or something like that.
It was as far as I was aware, it was a feminist anti-misogyny based group. Yeah.
See, I'm not going to get into a discussion about that.
It makes me angry.
Let's stay on topic.
The thing is that the violence against women, I mean, it's there, but the vast majority of violence in the game is against men as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
I've only played a bit of GTA, but I've seen a lot of it played on YouTube and Let's Plays and whatnot. But the only time, as far as I'm aware, that you are forced to kill another player or NPC or whatever, the only time that you have to do that is in the intro to the game before you get to the main world when you're doing a bank heist of some kind. That's the only time.
You don't have to kill.
Is it possible
to get through the game?
I don't think you can get through it without killing the police that are chasing you. Or at least shooting at them to stop them.
Sure.
But the thing is that all of the police are male. So... Yeah.
No, I think there are some female police, but they're only back at the police station.
Well, that doesn't really count, does it?
No.
Well, either way.
We're not going to get into
the
exact...
The game was basically removed from shelves under the premise that there was a petition that people put out on change.org, which is probably the only time that a petition on change.org has actually had any effect on the world whatsoever.
It was a Xenogears thing.
Saying, please,
that's all right,
take this thing off shelf. And I'm almost entirely certain... At Target in Australia, I don't know what it is like in the rest of the world, but at Target in Australia, it really feels like the game section is screwed away into a corner, and there's like, you can get half a dozen different games there. Games are not the main thing that they sell.
I only go to Target for games if I am desperate for something. Like, trying to find those Amiibos today. They had Diddy Kong, I was surprised. But, otherwise I wouldn't even try.
Yeah.
So I think they've basically gone, oh, okay, you know, it's not really them taking a stand, it's them making a business decision, basically.
That's all it ever is.
Yeah, that's
all it ever is. The statement they put out was that it is within, like, our customers' interests to have this game removed, which I don't think is accurate.
No.
At all.
No, it's not got nothing to do with the customers, it's got to do with them worrying about an outcry, which they got, but only because they removed it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm sure it would have flown completely under the radar and no one would have noticed.
The thing that irritates me so much about this is that they've already been selling the game for more than a year.
This is the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One version.
It's just the re-release. The only difference, the only major difference that I can see is that there's the first person update that...
Wouldn't it be funny if they took the new one off the shelves but they continued to sell the old one?
Just that and the busiest time of the season is rolling around for them, as it is for any retail store, which is Christmas time.
And they're not selling one of the most popular games of the year. In the first 6 weeks, Rockstar shipped more than like 30 million copies of the game. Yeah. Like, how the fuck can you not
sell that? There is an issue with censorship in Australia to do with video games. And we're getting better, but it's still
not great.
We're getting better, but I still feel like it's still a little too unpredictable, I honestly feel.
Mm.
I don't know what rating boards
are
like.
It's so inconsistent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know what rating boards are like overseas, but I'm pretty certain in Australia you just get given a classification. You're not told the reason you got given a classification.
I think there is some reasoning behind it. Yeah, it's not...
Well, they'll say, this is the reason why, but they won't like label a specific scene or a specific area
or
movies. They won't label a specific scene or something like that. You just have to like make guesswork and try and get the thing reclassified.
Great example of how inconsistent and just not on the ball they are. Some RPGs I play, the Outlier series, which is cute girls doing cute things, making cute potions. And
is that where you made fish beer or something?
I did. I made anchovy. Yeah. It's anchovy beer.
You're not getting
which created with my alchemical wizardry. Anyway, this game series, it's like the most light-hearted cotton candy fluffy bunny series you're ever likely to play. And it's rated R for high impact sexual violence. because of a single scene in each game where one of the shopkeepers, who is female, gets drunk and a little touchy.
Yep. No, that makes me feel ever so slightly uncomfortable. That deserves that rating.
I had to change the angle I was sitting at when I was watching those scenes.
Yeah,
it was very, very uncomfortable. Exactly. almost pushed my feet off my lap.
Knocked the table over.
Yeah, it's just...
it's just so incredibly inconsistent.
I feel like it's inconsistent and...
And nothing is taken in the context of the scene.
No, it is. I feel like they're simply covering their own asses, and they go, okay, what if this were taken out of context?
Yeah.
And someone, you know, got a big hoo-ha up about it, how would we be able to respond to that? So it's a bit, I think they need to go some...
Well, they respond, say, look at it in context.
Yeah,
there you go, job's done.
Exactly, but you know how people can be. You know how Tumblr is.
Yeah, I hate people.
I wonder if there are any people who actually understand games on that board.
Probably not. I imagine it's a bunch of old blokes or old people.
One of them probably used to have Space Invaders on the Atari.
It's too violent.
Now, they play Farmville on their phone. I think they know a little bit about games.
Mm-hmm. I play Facebook
Candy
games.
Crush,
I think I know
Saga or whatever it is that the kids play these days.
Yeah, the kids.
Puzzle
the
and
kids.
Dragon
with your Angry
But do
Birds.
They play those? Because those games aren't rated.
No, but they play them. Yeah. Oh. It doesn't matter about the rating.
Just matters if they played them or not.
Yeah. But you just need your game to have an online online component, and then you just, you know, don't get rated.
Mm.
You just sell it.
Yeah.
So I saw earlier on in the week that they are releasing a special edition PlayStation 4 that looks like
the original
PlayStation.
I kind of really want one.
But they're so limited.
See,
so many people are being like, I really want one. I'm like, it's a fucking grey box. It looks like the beige computer that I first owned. What is the appeal of this?
There's a picture for Jonathan.
You know, I love dumb stuff.
Yeah, I
and
know
this
you
is
love
just
dumb stuff.
The right kind of dumb. It's like that you can get a Transformers Megatron that turns into a Mega Drive. And I'm like, I love that. I need that in my life. It's like $300 and I don't need it that bad.
So, what, there's like 800? There's like less than 1,000 of them or something
that. I heard 1,200.
Okay, so a very small number. And I'm sure none of them will make it down to our little Pokemon corner of the world. But they'll probably all be given out at some corporate function. I just found it weird that
they went on sale in the Sony store.
All right.
But any hardcore PlayStation fan, well, not even hardcore, just a fan of the series, would already have a PlayStation 1. So why would you want a PlayStation 1, 2, 3, and a 4 that looks like a 1? Why wouldn't
it's the 20th anniversary and it's a throwback and it's kind of cool because
it's nostalgia,
kind of cool,
mate.
But yeah,
it's something I don't get.
It's like that Wii that they did in the style of an NES. Yeah, that's cool.
Didn't hear about that, but that does sound pretty cool.
Maybe that was a fan thing, but I don't know. I like that.
I think that might have been a fan thing. I think that was
It's just a neat throwback to the PlayStation 1.
It's neat, but it's not something that I would pay like an extra, you know, 70 or $100 for.
I want those ugly grey controllers.
The age of grey is gone. Was grey just really cheap to make?
Probably,
I feel like grey was just like any plastic.
Only if it's the kind of grey that turns yellow after about 4 years.
See, it's just a design aesthetic. Just like now, you've got black and angles.
Mm. I'm just trying to think. I mean, I was alive kind of in that point. Any other consumer electronics that were, you know, boxy and grey? I guess
VCRs.
Aren't they black?
Mostly black.
Oh, no, they were grey.
They were about half and half black and grey.
Yeah, so I guess the old amplifier set my parents had was grey. Maybe that's just the colour of the consumer electronics.
I remember a lot of grey radios.
Yeah.
Gradios?
Yes. It was a fun game.
Whoops, I
dropped. Got those weird moths, creatures.
Yeah,
anyway.
Attacking all right, you space
I am bread.
Ben,
you've
been
about
playing that.
Yeah, it's good. You flop around. It's kind of quappy, so the controls are pants on head retarded. But it's sort of half the fun is just trying to get around the area. Turn Jesus that shit to silent.
Christ,
it is on silent.
Turn that shit to off.
This is the worst podcast.
Professionalism.
Fucking professionalism. So loud. Can you imagine this? So I'm going to sleep, right? I get an email and this thing goes...
Email.
Put it in blocking mode. That just doesn't give
it's
any
mute. I changed it to mute. It's not going to vibrate.
Okay. Anyway.
My old man was telling a story. Sorry, I'm just going to side. I'm going to tangent.
Steal my bread.
You can get back.
Take
to
the bread
back.
Out of my mouth.
My old man was telling a story about when phones first started to become cordless. They at the place that he worked, he would they had these receivers, these big handset receivers, but you could take them anywhere in the building and you'd still be able to take phone calls. Now, the people that had made these had come up with a great idea of, okay, maybe people will take these into meetings and they don't want it to make noise when that happens. Apparently, the vibrate function in them was, like, so severe that it made way more noise than the ringtone. Did you put it on a table, it's like this giant brick just bounces halfway down the table.
One of my old phones was like that. It was hilarious watching it go. You just, like, sit it there and, like, ask a friend to message you and it just goes... shoots off the table.
Anyway, bro. Sorry about your bread.
I am bread.
So what's the aim of the game?
The aim of the game is you become toast. And you have to evenly toast each side of your slice of bread whilst remaining still edible and delicious.
But you don't just toast yourself in a toaster.
Yeah, that's the mistake I made. So first level, they put a toaster there. So they give you the idea in your head that, oh, there's a toaster. I've got to get to the toaster. Toaster, obviously, the only way I can become toast. Then you get to level 2 and there's no toaster. So you're like, well, what do I do? There's a window there. Maybe there's a toaster out the window. So that was my first attempt at that stage. Didn't go so well. What you actually have to do is find another hot element in the stage to toast yourself on. There's a heater in that stage, which I assume you can use, but what I did is I knocked a bowling ball onto a television, which then caught fire, and then I threw myself on top of the TV and cooked myself on the hot metal.
Yeah.
I think I need to play this game.
It's pretty
fun.
Yeah.
And like, as you flop around the level, you pick up different bits of stuff, like jam and fish bones and broken glass and mold. And at the end of the stage, once you're finally toasted, you get ranked on how delicious and edible you are.
So, do you remember before we started recording, I was telling you I was selling some spare Steam stuff that I had?
Yeah.
And I got like $15. It's going to all time.
Yeah, well, you know, when we're done, we load up.
I'm totally going to go to the stars and place my own bread.
It is good fun. Yeah. I'm enjoying it.
This is slightly more of a discussion for the Game of the Year podcast, but I will.
No, it's not Game of the
Year. I'm just saying, like, this is the year of, like, the shitty simulator.
Oh, yeah, shitty simulator.
We've got Goat Simulator. That's great.
There's a game.
Every update, a banquet.
There's a game tagged in my Steam library called This Game is Literally Satan. Because a friend and I got drunk and played Woodcutting Simulator multiplayer.
What?
I've seen some videos.
Occasionally. Oh, and at LANs mostly. Incidentally, I have a LAN coming up, which I'm pretty excited for. But, it was just him and I, and we were like, fuck it, let's play some shitty simulators. So we went to Bundle Stars, bought a shitty simulator bundle, and, played that. Actually, that's on YouTube. That.
Oh, okay.
We played for 20 minutes, and then we didn't get sick of it. The game
crashed.
Cross
promotion.
Do you want to plug your YouTube channel to the one listener?
No.
Okay.
No, because I don't know.
No, that guy sucks. I don't want his comments.
Yeah, that guy.
If you'd like to complain about us, complain about you. Send your emails to podcast@itsallcanon.com.
If you'd like us to insult you.
Adrian.
I love you,
I know
Adrian.
That's probably not your real name,
can
but
you
if
imagine
it is,
if
I bet you're freaking out
listeners
right now.
Adrian.
I love you, mate. Adrian! I saw you in the shower last night. It was inspiring, mate.
Inspiring?
It was inspiring.
Well, I was inspired 15 years ago by watching a dude called Adrian shower. Don't know how, but I was inspired
by
that.
Did you watch him shower, or was his full name Adrian Shower?
Both.
So Will's been
misreading
the news.
I got baited bad.
He's baiting.
So Nippon Ichi made a joke about them going under unless they sold 150,000 copies of Disgaea 5.
Will's stupid.
Will was like, oh yeah, let's take it at face value.
It's a legitimate gaming website. I can't remember what.
Anyway, the Nippon Ichi are fine.
Yeah,
they're not going to go
called
under.
Play for real.
For real.
Should have read the comments.
So yeah, Nippon Ichi are fine.
Mm-hmm.
Disgaea 5, I'll probably play at some point, but
yeah,
I'll probably wait for the
Vita release.
Oh,
at this point.
Well, I played all of them on the PSP, and they were pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've got 1 through 4 on my Vita, And just, I assume 5 and Disgaea D2 are coming.
Hmm. D2 is like the original one that's...
The original cast.
The original cast, yeah.
So Ben.
Yeah?
A small lifestyle question for you, mate.
Not gay. Sorry, man.
For quite some time, you didn't have full-time employment, which allowed you to play as many JRPGs as you possibly wanted.
Yeah.
Now that you are gainfully full-time employed, are you really going to jump back into games like Disgaea, which are like 80 hours minimum?
But also excellent train games.
Oh, yeah, you do spend a lot of time on public transport. That's
and they're
point.
Broken up into missions.
The levels
yeah.
are quite short.
Yeah.
Okay,
win this round.
Yeah, Persona Q's been really good for that, and when I finally get around to it, I'm sure Pokemon will be really good again, because I used to play
that.
Would
you
want to
play that one? Spoilers. I bought myself 3DS.
Oh,
that's
really
3DS. Yeah.
That's
so I bought myself a 3DS and Pokemon.
What is not the flesh?
Yeah.
Do
you want to start playing that one?
Yeah,
playing?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I've played up to about the first town, I think, but
sure,
that won't take you long to catch up.
You guys can be like friends.
Yeah. Well, he's got Omega Ruby, and I got Alpha.
I picked Mudkip.
Yeah, fuck that. I'm picking Mudkip.
Like, who's gonna pick Torchic? Everyone got Torchic for free in X and Y.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'd pick Water for.
I'll play as Lucario. I don't even know if that's a Pokemon.
Lucario's
Drukario.
Drukario.
Anyway,
yeah, I'm a Pokemon.
So moving on, something about a Megavirus that I didn't read about.
Megavirus. Who Megavirused? Was this a computer megavirus or a human megavirus?
This was on
Reddit. That's on BBC
Technology.
It's
on
BBC Technology, yeah.
And,
hey, BBC's decent.
This was like a few days after our previous podcast and we didn't have any notes, so I just started throwing random stuff that I found.
Is it actually interesting or can we skip it?
It's kind of interesting. Basically, they found a virus that they don't know where it came from that was basically sending information from whatever computer it was on to...
Mars.
Somewhere in space.
It was coming from inside your house.
Like who was phone.
It's actually just like just internet connection.
A little bit.
It's just like...
Strange, the virus shuts down when we unplug this blue cable. No, I thought it was kind of interesting that a virus had been made that was just like totally... They said that it would have taken like years to make and that they have no idea like its origins or where it came from. I just thought it was kind of interesting that like that can happen.
Yeah.
Because you generally don't think that a virus is going to be that like...
Well,
untouchable,
a lot of viruses are designed to just sort of infect as much as they can, but lay dormant until a certain point.
Yeah, well, there was that guy who crashed Google by just like letting a virus spread around for ages and then pinging Google all at once, didn't he?
That's the basis of DDoS attacks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, was it distributed denial of service?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're a genius.
Yeah, I'm a fucking computer wizard.
Yeah.
Fuck computer warlocks. Sorry, that was the theory that I had for why my computer isn't turning on. There's
I'm
a warlock
computer
living
warlock.
Inside of my computer.
No, you're a pixel wizard.
There had to be a twist. That pixel wizard has such a supple wrist.
So, three of us at this table
saw
Interstellar last week, talking about that.
We'll avoid spoilers, but I really liked it.
I really enjoyed it.
The thing that stood out for me, by far, has to be the soundtrack. The
soundtrack was amazing.
It is,
would you say it was stellar?
It was alright. No, it was absolutely fantastic.
Single best scene was the docking scene.
Yeah.
Don't
take that shit out of context.
But
that's not penises touching penises.
No. But like seriously, that scene. With...
Hey, what's that audio podcast? Yeah.
That's a noise.
24/7 dick slap.
It wasn't weird. It was just me slamming my junk against Will. No, the music was just just perfect for that scene, and it was stunning.
Ending
was
good.
I really liked, like, I got a really big vibe of older.
Yeah,
big vibe.
Like a rocket.
I got
the moon.
I got a large impression. Is that dirty? I don't know.
Stop saying things.
It really felt like some.
Come on, just get through it. Power through it.
Hang on,
the
bus.
It felt a lot like to me, like a lot of sort of those older type of science fiction movies, like 2001: A Space Odyssey or Blade Runner, where there was a lot of time taken to set up scenes and really get you just feeling the super tension of those scenes, because I feel like anyone can make a movie and put like super loud noises in it to try and make tension. Yeah, but when you take the time in a scene, like the movie was fucking long, don't get me wrong, but when you
two and a half, three almost. Yeah.
But when you take the time to just build up something for so long, yeah, you feel real suspense. It really gives you the feeling. Instead of it being all like really dramatic heroic music where you're like, oh yeah, I know that this is going to go fine, like that sort of music really makes you feel like there's a chance that it could go balls up, just like fuck up completely.
One of the best things about the movie was
fuck Matt Damon.
Shush. one of the best things about the movie,
fuck Matt Damon.
Shush. Going into the movie, and this is what I'm talking about, is that if you just watch the trailer, it's like the first 40 minutes and you don't know what happens beyond that. So the trailer's ends when they go through the wormhole, and after the wormhole there's like another 2 hours.
And really
it was really good being like, they're through the wormhole and I have no idea what's going to happen.
I hadn't seen the trailer, and I think it would have been way better if I had, because you would have had this, you know, this the real suspense built up to this massive moment.
These aren't spoilers. This is nothing that you can't see in the trailer. If you haven't seen the trailer and you still plan on seeing Interstellar, stop listening for a few seconds. But there is there is a part in the movie, in the trailer, where this like there's this amazing sort of a launch sequence where they fire the rocket up into space, and you know there's this spaceship on top of it that's, you know, the one that they're going to travel through the wormhole in, and you know they got this on top of this great big spaceship, and it's really quite dramatic. It's like the footage, if you've ever seen the footage for the launch of Apollo 8, is really amazing footage because they got cameras on the ship and everything like that. It looks amazing. And then bits later on in the movie, it's like, why the fuck did they need that great big massive launch vehicle? They're just flying off shit left, right, and center. So technically, the movie, as far as accuracy is concerned, not that particularly amazing, but dramatically, it is spectacular.
Yeah, there were a few. I'm not going to go into any details at all, but there were a few minor bits that kind of irritated me. But you don't think about it for more than like 5 minutes.
Nah.
It was just like that.
You're pretty cool.
The audio mixing for some of it. Like one particular bit where, if you watch the movie, you probably know what I'm talking about.
I'm trying to mouth it, aren't you?
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. But there was a bit where something was really soft, like
someone was talking,
and it was really soft,
or
it was like kind of crackly, and you needed to hear it,
you know what I mean? Yeah, no, I think I did.
Anyway,
the music was way too loud in a couple of scenes for the very quiet dialogue.
It's just pretty irritating, and I'm sure you could put that down to either bad mixing, but I'm sure that would have probably been intentional. Like, I can't imagine that a movie with that kind of budget would have.
Personally,
I mean, that's just an audio slider. Like, that's
maybe like I saw it reasonably late in its run, so the cinemas here, it was sort of being pushed down into the smaller cinemas, and I think I was in a cinema where the speakers were a little bit old, not so great. Those scenes, I could barely hear any of the dialogue. I had to infer most of it.
Yeah, well, I gather that. Anyway,
more space news.
I added something. We'll move that down because I've added something. You haven't got it. So the Star Wars teaser trailer.
I didn't actually watch it.
I haven't even not watched
how?
It.
How?
Because I will.
Have you seen it?
I've seen screenshots.
Moving on.
Oh my god.
There was a lightsaber.
Oh my god.
It looks awesome.
I loved Blizzard's response.
What was Blizzard's response?
They put out a picture of Arthas holding a Frostmourne with two Frostmourne's just to hilt.
So like
10 out of 10.
So as a trailer, it was great. You know, you introduce the characters, you introduce the world, you show that there's like the CG is good, and that they're using models as well as CG, so it's not going to be episode one level. This is all CG and all bad.
I don't want to know. I want to walk in. I want it to be completely fresh.
But it's to the point where it's like, this looks really cool, and you get tiny little snippets, but no story. So I'm not going to watch any other trailers. I don't want to watch anything else. But as a teaser, for them like to say, here is what we have now. We haven't fucked it up completely. I'm going, okay, I'm willing to give this a go now, and now I'm just not going to... I'm trying to avoid everything else about it until it comes out.
Okay.
There's no question that
I
still went and saw episode 3.
I will go see it 100%, but I heard the shitstorm that people got really upset about a lightsaber, whatever.
It's fucking awesome. Minor spoilers. There's a awesome lightsaber...
It's in the trailer. You can't spoil the trailer.
If people don't want to watch the trailers. Anyway, but it's like a cross guard.
Yeah, it's basically
awesome.
It looks awesome.
I don't give a shit.
Dumb.
No, it's awesome.
It's Star Wars.
It's cool.
It is so cool.
You have Star Knights.
The rest of Star Wars is not dumb, but this is particularly dumb.
It's cool.
It's not Jar Jar tier dumb.
No,
but it's probably dumber than a name like Kit Fisto.
Fuck Jar Jar?
For the experience.
And the flappy ears.
You've seen his big floppy ears.
Look at you see what he can do with that tongue. Just grab fruit off the table.
Close your eyes and pretend it's anything else.
Anyway, so talking about Star Wars and space and stuff, did you guys see that they launched the new Orion?
That was a pretty dodgy segue.
That's a pretty dodgy segue.
Funnily enough, I didn't see that.
Oh, well, okay. They launched the new Orion capsule, which is the new let's get people into space thing. So they put this on.
Is that the technical term?
No, but that's
the level of people in space thing.
We
didn't think that far.
It's NASA's new vehicle for manned space exploration, and the idea is that this thing will be tested and probably modified as time goes on, and it may eventually be used for human voyages to Mars. So whether that means humans landing on Mars or just getting there.
Humans being fired at Mars.
Is this NASA?
Yes, this is NASA.
I remember
no one else does anything.
A little while ago, some private organization was trying to colonize Mars, basically.
Okay. Well, there's the SpaceX organization, but they're kind of more involved in low orbit kind of stuff, like getting satellites into orbit, not so much space exploration, which is why NASA moved away from that a bit, because they were like, I just thought it. They were trying to move away from we are space taxi and moving stuff up there and more back into exploration, but it seems really cool. I was looking at the funny thing was, because I play a reasonable amount of Kerbal Space Program, the funny thing was
150 hours
looking at the looking at their rocket designs that they've got, and ones that are coming up into the future, I'm like, I just make that shit in Kerbal. It's just like they've done what I did. Just put more boosters on.
I'm better than NASA.
I'm not saying I'm Neil Armstrong.
No, I'm not. I'm saying I'm
the guy who put Neil Armstrong on the moon.
It's just funny that, NASA's approach is the same as anyone else's approach. You need to go further. Yeah, just put more shit on there.
Not physics. Holy shit, that worked.
It's not like designing
SV underscore gravity -1.
No, it's 250. You just got
it. It's not like
-1. You just shoot it off.
Yeah.
It's not like let's design an entirely new rocket. No, let's just take the rockets that we've got and we'll put three together instead of just the one. But it's pretty cool. I'm pretty excited about it because that's the sort of thing I get excited about. So
what? Why? Why did you just show me a picture of a cat and a sponge?
It's not important.
Okay,
moving on.
Sorry.
The UK bans a lot of porn. Apparently,
the UK did ban a lot of porn.
It doesn't ban the viewing of it, just the production of it.
Just the production of it. Yes. So
harming no one.
What? That makes no sense.
So you can't.
How did you get this hardcore midget porn?
I don't know.
No, you can have the hardcore
midget
porn.
But you can't make it in the UK.
But you can't have someone getting a fist up them and saying, "Core blimey, that's a big fist."
Mm. So it's like
fucking oh,
fisting, female ejaculation for some reason.
Face sitting.
Some of them are to do with because they think it's dangerous, so face-sitting, strangulation, and something else.
I can understand the dangerous part of it. I don't think it should be banned if there's two consenting adults who just want to, I don't know, whip each other's asses.
But some of it's like
penetration with
something that could be considered a weapon.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I'll use the non-pointy end of the sword. Whoopsie!
Yeah.
Let me see if I can get it. There's no article linked or so.
I think there was also, like, actors portraying underage characters.
Yes,
so
yeah,
like
that's the one.
Scenes.
Yeah, so like girls wearing tartan skirts and pigtails or whatever. You can't have that.
Here we go.
I don't understand why people like.
No,
I have a list. Spanking, caning, aggressive whipping, penetration by any object.
What about non-aggressive whipping
with violence?
Gentle whipping.
Physical or verbal abuse, regardless of if consensual. Water sports, role playing with non-adults.
Don't know what water sports are.
Like.
I thought you meant like playing like water polo in the nip. I'm like, what's wrong with playing like
here we go, physical restraint.
So all bondage is out.
Humiliation.
Well, I'm not getting any
points. Female ejaculation, and these last three are fall under acts that the BBFC views as potentially life endangering. Quote: strangulation, face sitting, and fisting.
Face sitting is potentially.
It's a strangulation.
Well, like if someone fell asleep and
squashed
someone's head.
So don't let a narcoleptic person sit on your face.
Wake up, Jess!
Everybody's wiggling. Okay, and as an aside, there is an article on the side here which is Zooey Deschanel has been sued for riding a horse too hard. I'm not going to click on it because I don't want to know the context.
But
I also don't want that in my browser history.
There's been protests going on outside of the UK Parliament in response to this, of people basically sitting on face-sitting protests. People just getting out there and
I'm fine with
sitting
that.
On faces.
Protesting. I would be fine if Zooey Deschanel joined in those protests.
Zooey
Deschanel is by far the hottest person on earth.
I hear she's a bitch though.
Couldn't
like,
give a shit.
Difficult to work with.
The nips,
like
the face, the booty,
yes,
the booty,
the face nips,
the face nipples.
Not as difficult to work with as Megan Fox is apparently difficult to work with, but she knows she's a big deal. Like she's a big deal and she knows it. But that's
like
all.
They kicked her off. Who was it? Michael Bay kicked her off. Transformers,
and
then rehired her from Ninja Turtles.
Dedicated a portion of the script to how much of a bitch Megan Fox was.
Yep.
She stopped sleeping with him, and then started sleeping with him again once she realized
she
couldn't get any
she
work.
She slept with one of the turtles.
new Mad Max
the
theatrical
topics,
trailer.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Mad Max theatrical trailer. It looks like. Have you seen it?
I saw the trailer. The only thing I got from it was boom!
That's
it.
Yeah.
Just
big cars driving around, stuff blowing up. The funny thing is, like the entire premise of Mad Max, like the old Mad Max movies, is like we are running out of fuel. Like people are killing each other over petrol, gasoline, whatever. And yet every single car in the damn movie is like this gigantic V8 fire-breathing.
So you're saying Mad Max would be better if everyone was driving
Prius? No, it wouldn't be better. I just find that juxtaposition to be funny. Yeah, everyone's out there driving Prius.
It doesn't make noise like that because it's an electric car.
I don't go very fast or very far.
But it looks like there's a lot of stuff blowing up. It's this... who's playing Max is the fellow that played Bane, Tom Hardy? Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't watched the trailer.
Yeah,
Ben says
I can't
yes.
I can remember his celebrity name.
So I think he'd be good for that role. I'm excited. I'm cautiously optimistic. Set phase is cautiously optimistic.
I'm excited for it, but I'm not excited for it to be like a really good movie and for me to be like, whoa, that was incredible. I'm expecting it to be like, Jesus Christ, that looked cool.
Yeah.
Anything other than the visuals, really.
I don't think you could remake a movie that was along the same vein as Mad Max. I don't know if that would work in today's environment.
I think it would absolutely work.
You reckon it'll work?
I don't think it
high drama, low, very low dialogue. That movie does not have a lot of spoken lines.
I still think there's a. I mean, it's clearly not Michael Bay blockbuster level, but I think you have less faith than you should in people. I mean, people and Interstellar was not a particularly easy movie to watch.
No,
it
I guess not. And it
blockbuster
was successful.
It was. I mean, look at the trailer, right? The trailer tells you nothing, and it was still super successful.
Mm-hmm. So I guess you can get a market based upon intrigue.
Of Mad Max, I was getting an incredible The Psychos from Borderlands 2 and 1.
That's heavily based on it. Yeah,
100%.
I was getting an incredible vibe off of
Borderlands. Took a lot from Mad Max.
From the comparisons between like The Psychos and Borderlands and
yeah.
like the cars that are driving, they're just covered in spikes and like chains and stuff.
Yeah,
awesome.
And the dudes are wearing masks and
building
various different pieces.
I'm excited to watch it, but I'm not excited to analyze it in
final bit of news before we hop into the Game of the Year stuff is new trailer for Inside Out, which is the new Pixar movie.
Oh, I hadn't seen
it. It looks really interesting. So, do you want
to
go?
Sorry, Ben and I had watched it, and we came to the same conclusion, which is I don't know where the movie is. Like,
if you watch, it's an interesting setup, but
how do you stretch this out
to feature length?
The premise, or rather the trailer, has a mother and. Father and their daughter.
Little girl,
daughter. Mm-hmm. And each of them have like this internal dialogue where the internal dialogue is done by like a bunch of little fuzzy creatures.
inside.
So it's like okay, they're yeah. conscious and they're talking about like the conscious are talking in between themselves.
Yeah.
They said send a fire signal to dad and like hit a button and they go, you know, like
yeah.
move the eyes across and then the dad is just like zoned out and he's thinking about football and all that.
And then all the little guys are watching a football game
yeah.
on the mirror and
yeah,
then
yeah.
it flicks over.
Yeah, and it flicks over and they're like, oh shit, what is it? Is it an anniversary? Did we forget something? Did we forget to take the trash out? It's like, oh my god, I don't believe he doesn't get it. So it's like
yeah,
back and forth between these guys and it was a really good as like a short but
yeah.
there was no this is
how
what the movie
a,
is
how, yeah,
I could see
what,
you making a movie out of it but I don't get there was no setup
like,
for the movie
I was,
for
I,
a
like,
plot
like,
or anything.
It's not like Toy Story where it's like here's Woody and here's the new toy and then
yeah, like,
suddenly they go on an adventure
there's
yeah.
no conflict
no.
there's no MacGuffin
I was
no.
thinking for Up like I don't remember what the trailer for Up was I don't think I've seen the trailer for Up but I mean like
there was still
you
like
can tell there's
they are going
an
somewhere.
Adventure is happening and they're going somewhere
yeah.
and they're exploring
the house comes
happening.
Up and the house is going to a particular
yeah.
place whereas this trailer this and I think it might be more of a teaser it's more like this is the premise and there's nothing else for it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they can pull it off because they're Pixar and they everything they touch turns to gold, including cars, but gold in a literal sense.
Yeah.
Where
merchandising.
No, cars too. There's a car. He's a spy. But he's not really a spy car. They just think he's. It's like Animal Crossing with cars.
Yeah. But I have faith in Pixar. I'm just wondering where we're going with that trailer.
Has there been any news on when it's coming out at all, or
if they've released a trailer, it'll probably be like kind of mid, like next
year. Yeah, I imagine
Q3,
Q4.
Well, I was
going to
say it could just be like a.
I assume it's a teaser, and there will be more trailers. It's just I'm wondering what they were doing with this one.
So, should we move into a little bit of a game of the year?
Yeah. So the
discussion.
Way we're going to do this was this podcast. We were just going to have a talk about our nominations, and
mm-hmm.
then everyone's going to go away and maybe take a look at what everyone else said. Like the games everyone else really likes, and then we'll come back on the next podcast, whatever that is, and we'll have a talk about it.
Yeah,
well,
try
let's
come up
let's
with
start
thing.
At the bottom. And
yeah, I was about to say
up to what people are really waiting for.
So one sec. I'll open my list.
I've got my list as well. I imagine we're going to have a reasonable amount of overlap between these, but,
yeah.
that's fine.
Starting at the bottom, let's start at rock bottom. What was your most
disappointing game of the year? Maybe someone want to start.
I have a very obvious one, which I think a lot of people who are interested in AAA games will understand, and that's Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
I was
from what I understand.
I was pretty
was
excited
just,
for this game because
I saw the trailer, like the original trailer, where it looked gorgeous and like you did all this awesome hacking and it's like, I want to do this, and this.
It's so underwhelming in game.
And then it's the Ubisoft game.
Yeah. Like in the E3 trailer demo of like 2012, it was like dude turns off the traffic lights and it's this glorious
yeah.
like particle effect everywhere and all this like interactive smoke
mm-hmm.
and stuff and it slams in massive
it's
thing
all bullshit.
Shooter. In game it's like you turn off the thing and then all the cars are just like accelerate and then they just all slam into the middle of the intersection and it's like wow you're all fucking stupid and then it was just like
it promised it a lot and
it
didn't deliver
it,
very much.
It just pitched it as it being so much cooler than it was. It was just very...
I mean, I really felt when I watched the trailer for Watch Dogs that it came out, I went, that's really cool. How do you get that to happen in an environment that is not completely scripted and, like, railed? Because it was like...
It's a
yeah.
lot of work.
Yeah.
But Ubisoft traditionally have a lot of people working on their games, which is also a bad thing.
Yeah,
sometimes.
No one who works at Ubisoft doesn't work on
Assassin's
a big
Creed,
Ubisoft
yeah.
game. The
which is
the Scott Pilgrim credits. Pilgrim versus the World, the game. Those last for like 15 minutes.
Although, to be fair, that was developed
and that's
primarily
a small
by a small group.
Title.
That was a small group that primarily developed that game. And there must have been a bunch of like other people working on it outside. Whereas something like Assassin's Creed 3, the actual development team was so big it was just completely unwieldy and the game went in all directions and it was worse for it.
Except for DLC, The Tyranny of King Washington. I love it. George Washington builds a pyramid.
I don't think I really have one, because I tend to play a lot of games that other people have already played, so I get
yeah.
it filtered out along the way.
Yeah.
I can't really think of anything. I mean, the only thing I'd say is I've played a bit of the Halo games, and I tried to jump into Master Chief Collection. I found it very buggy.
Wasn't that fairly recent?
Yeah,
yeah,
it was
2014. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I mean, like a few weeks ago.
Yeah, fairly.
It came out between our last podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't pay attention to it.
I mean, I really only played a couple of hours of it, but it didn't feel smooth to me.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's about all I've got to say on that topic.
That being said, I was watching, because I'm subscribed to ESL on YouTube, and they uploaded some Halo competitive, which looks really bad. It looks really, like...
interesting, like, to watch, or just, like...
Well, I mean, it's just, like... Like, I don't know. Well, clearly somebody enjoys it, and I really enjoy Counter-Strike esports, but to this, it just, to me, it just looks like... You know, just run towards your enemy and just shoot, because it doesn't look like there's any like recoil control or like fun gunplay. It's just like your balls will land there, just go.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know, I just thought that was interesting that they're trying to make it more competitive, or maybe somebody is, I don't know. Yeah,
so you're just feeling like it's a as a person that enjoys Counter-Strike is a little too basic for you.
Well, I'm not a fan of the Halo series to begin with, so I was a bit skeptical, but I more or less just thought it was strange, because Halo to me has always been that game that you just play during IT classes in high school. Like, that's like literally all we did in like our games programming classes, and then we just like remade Doom in like the last like 3 weeks. It's always struck me as a really casual game that shouldn't be played seriously. I mean, I hear these people playing it seriously for a small prize pool, but I don't know. Maybe that's the direction they want to go in. Maybe that's just what somebody
Halo
else...
multiplayer was always a thing.
It was always pretty well regarded. But it was always like, you know,
sit down with
12 versus 12, you know, just casual fuck around. Mm. I don't know. I've never thought
but
of
like imposing limitations on what people should play.
Yeah,
like,
no, it's
yeah,
like,
no, I don't think that people should enjoy this.
Yeah.
I think
not that
they
should, right, but like
if they do.
But saying this shouldn't be an e-sport is like, well,
I just don't think it was made to be an e-sport. And I don't know if that's something that they tried to do and failed, or if that's just something that somebody's been like, hey, why don't we try this?
Yeah.
I've got no idea. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting.
Do you have something, Ben or Pollock?
I have a few.
I got a few
as
well.
I could be edgy. So we'll start with the least edgy and move on. So, Freedom Wars. Like, we started playing that and it was good, and it drops off really hard.
Wait, as most disappointing game of the year.
I have a few. I'm looking up to it.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. These are just nominations.
Because the other week when I was picking up from work, you were saying it was really good.
It was good.
Yeah,
and
it
then
starts
it
out
like
strongly.
Like,
and then
strong.
It gets real grindy, fetchy.
Yeah, really grindy, and then
the characters are completely uninteresting.
Mm. I assume this is on your list as well, all the nominations.
I actually didn't put it on there. I only nominated three, and this wasn't in my top three.
Yeah, it was just... It drops off really hard, and it's not Monster Hunter, so...
I
don't know what it is. Like Monster Hunter doesn't have a lock on, and that's
really bad for me. There is a point, and this is kind of a spoiler, so you may want to block your own spoiler. There's a point where you have to choose between two characters, and one will live and one will die. And I didn't care. I couldn't actually remember which characters had those names.
Which characters were they? The big burly guy and the...
There was the daughter and like the wimpy guy or
something.
Caden and the other tits?
Okay, so Freedom
Wars.
It's
a harder choice than that, purely because I couldn't remember who these characters were.
The other one, which I played for about 3 hours, Destiny, which isn't bad by any means.
It just
looked uninteresting, and it doesn't do anything particularly new, and it's... I'm sure it's solid, and the gameplay was solid. It was just like...
It wasn't anything new. Like...
It wasn't the game ending, you know.
They do
terrible things with the drop system's shocking, and the story is terribly told.
I can agree with you for that. It didn't look very fun to play, kind of.
But the gameplay's solid, and like it's from Bungie, so the shooting is solid, the jumping's solid, the classes are solid. Enemy variation was just like different recoils of the same enemy.
Yeah, I was watching John play it the other day. It was just like a whole bunch of the same dude and one big like giant Borg thing, and it was like
I heard that the game, like based upon Let's Play stuff that I've watched, the game gets good when you can go into the raids. But the problem
was one raid.
As an MMO, you can't rely on. But the end game.
No, I'm saying you can't. I completely agree with you. But the thing was with it is that you had to do it with people in your friends group because they deemed it too hard to go out.
Oh,
And pug it in.
And there's no voice communication.
So whatever. Yeah, I heard
Even WoW has inbuilt voice communication. I mean, it's shit.
Yeah. So what now?
Yeah, it's had it for ages and ages.
Yeah.
Wow. It's like Burning Crusade.
Yeah, I remember accidentally turning it on one time, I think, and it's just being like, shit, that's probably a mod I've like installed.
Nice. Yeah.
No, that is real.
Yep. Huh. So, to be the edgiest, and this is also on my list this is on my list of overall best games of the year as well. But this is Dark Souls 2.
Right?
So Dark Souls 2 is amazing. Like, 90, 95, I 100%ed that game. I haven't played the DLC yet. Game is amazing, excellent. Not Dark Souls, and it's not Demon's Souls. The level design is just really not solid. The story's not as solid.
Far too many instances of the boss being guy with sword.
Yeah, guy with sword. The actual bosses aren't that interesting. I heard the DLC fixes a lot. I haven't played it, so...
There are a lot of guy with sword in the second DLC. Oh,
okay.
But
overall,
I think all the bosses
amazing game, but I wanted it to be another Dark Souls, and it wasn't another Dark Souls.
In the DLC, there is one boss in particular that I was just like, I'm not doing this anymore. I just can't be fucked.
Fume Knight?
No.
There's a Smelter Demon, which is just recovered.
Yeah, he's...
Yeah.
Oh, that was,
no, don't spoil any of
the bosses. That's the boss I'm talking about.
Oh,
I was just like, why are you back? It's
like a blue Smelter Demon.
It's a blue Smelter Demon.
They
had
the same problem in
Demon's
Souls as well, though, because there was like three Asylum Demons, pretty much.
Yeah.
There was the original one that you fight, there was the one that was under that when you come back to the Asylum.
But that felt...
And then
there's the flaming one.
But that felt different, because they had...
No, they had the same moveset, pretty much.
Pretty much?
Pretty much the same moveset. They had
the
slam.
The second
the
two had much more in terms of range attack.
I mean, yeah, they were slightly more interesting, but they were basically recolors.
Like, they were pretty much the same boss, but I don't think it was nearly as bad as the Smelter Demon, because it was like the same circular room you're fighting in, except one's rocks.
Yeah, the only thing that's changed is his resistances.
Oh, and his cut. But, yeah, that's just...
All right, anyway, but Dark Souls 2, excellent game. It just wasn't what I wanted it to be.
Ben.
Well... for all our long-term listener, you'll know that I was pretty disappointed with The Legend of Korra. That game could have been the perfect storm. You've got Activision footing the bill, you've got Platinum doing the work, and you've got Korra as the source material. There's no reason why that shouldn't have been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And
but it was worth $15, I think. Right?
Yeah, for $15, I mean, it's still only okay. Like,
I will
forgive the lack of variety of environments and enemies for that, but the combat just comes off as pretty bland.
Would you consider it a like real possible contender for most disappointing game of the year?
Absolutely not, because my next nomination is Lightning Returns Final Fantasy 13, and there's no way this can't take the gold. Because
would you like to vent for a little while?
I'm gonna vent for a while. Okay, so Lightning Returns. There is no party. There is only Lightning, who is best character, Toriyama's waifu.
Oh yeah,
she's such a popular character.
As an aside, Toriyama said, "It's great that we were finally able to create just such a strong female character."
Yeah,
in Lightning.
She's the strongest female character.
Ignoring
the fact that she is A, not strong, B, I guess, female,
but C,
not a character.
She's not a character, but like Yuna, right? I'm pretty sure he was involved with that. I'm pretty sure he created Yuna. And you've got Terra and...
Sally's. Yeah, so... not to mention all the female cast of four are great characters.
Mm.
But yeah, anyway, so you remove the party. You turn Hope from a sort of interesting Indiana Jones type figure back into a whiny kid. One of the major plot points is that something has stolen Lightning's emotions, which I'm not sure if it's a joke or not.
You can't tell the difference.
Because she hasn't changed at all.
No.
Yeah, the combat is sort of, we want to be real time, but still the combat of 13 and 13.2, and
so
it doesn't really
dress
work.
Spheres.
Yeah, you change costumes, and I got a couple of the DLC ones, but like the system is pretty confusing, and like at the end of the day, not hugely important. Like as long as you've got sort of three major roles covered, you're going to be fine. It doesn't matter what you specifically have. The story is dull at best. The areas are uninteresting. Will is unprofessional. His phone just went off.
Yeah, geez, Will.
And
how
that's
many
not
times
even
is that during the podcast?
Three total.
That's not even to say anything.
Not to say anything of the ending.
Of the ending, which is possibly the worst moment in storytelling.
in general.
Yeah, like Sonic 06 had a better story than this. Ooh. I mean, the human hedgehog romance was much more rewarding than
I sat and watched Ben's face as the game ended, and it
was, I know you two guys are probably never going to play this. If those of us playing along at home have any interest in the conclusion of Lightning's story, they should cover their ears for the next 2 minutes or so. The way this game ends, right? The big plot of the story is that the world is going to end, and for once in Final Fantasy, it can't be prevented. So what you have to do is you have to take two of every animal and put them on an ark, basically.
So you're saving
you have to take the souls of the inhabitants of this world, and you're going to transport them to a new world. Right. So you spend this like Dead Rising sequence, fixed time, trying to save as many souls as you can, and then you fight a boss for some reason. I can't even remember who they were, but it was like Skulls and Regal and the Final Fantasy final boss kind of thing. And then all souls go in like a sparkly mass of magic and fly off to another planet, but it's actually Earth. And then Lightning is in France and she's dressed like a secretary. And fuck this game!
Seriously, it pans up and I'm like, is that Earth? Oh my god, that can't be Earth, please no. And yeah, she's and like on a train on her way to work. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
And there is no magic. And
and that's it. And then
it finishes. Lightning like looks at the camera. It's like, oh my god,
it's like, this is a shit game.
Okay, well, there is one good thing about this ending. And like, it means that they can't make 13-4.
They'll try.
No, they won't.
Oh, they've said...
I will stop them.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think this is just Ben's, like, personal...
Yeah, no, okay, so this game, like, I can think of no reason why anyone should play it. I know that we're saying don't dictate people's taste, don't say people shouldn't play this game. You absolutely should not play this game.
Even as a
joke? If you had any misgivings about either of the two previous Final Fantasy 13s, then you will hate everything about this game. And if you like the other two, you will probably hate this game, but you're wrong. Is what I'm getting at. For such a team that has put out so many good things over the years and is still putting out good things that just aren't Final Fantasy 13, for them to screw up three games like that is
really something
special. Yeah, they got worse and worse.
Like 13 was like, this is not a good Final Fantasy. It's like, this is just bad. Like, and then 13-2 was like, what are you doing? There are some slight
gameplay improvements, but the quality of the story decreases drastically between installments.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on.
Yeah, I think we can call that one now.
Yeah. Have you got anything else, or should we move to best soundtrack?
No, the only other one I had was Dark Souls 2, which, while a fantastic game, it's still not the game it could have been.
Yeah. So we'll move to best soundtrack, if anyone has anything with that. There's only one choice for me. It's Transistor, hands down.
Oh, yeah, because the soundtrack... I haven't played either Bastion or Transistor, but I've heard the soundtracks for both of them, and they are both so pretty good. That I can only imagine get better with...
Knowing the context of them, yeah. They're much better, yeah.
Well, I did have a couple of others. One's kind of cheating. I said Smash Brothers, which, while it is a lot of existing music, it's mostly new rearrangements, and I think they're all really, really good.
It's good.
That's the Wii U version. There's not near as much music in the 3DS version. But the game that really stood out for me this year, in terms of music, was Shovel Knight. The composer Jake Kaufman is at the top of his game. He's always good, but he's great in this, and I'm still whistling some of the tracks from it.
Yeah, I mean, your ringtone is the Shovel Knight.
Steal Thy Shovel, first stage. It's great.
Yeah,
I don't. I think the game. Well, the games that I've played, because I haven't played. I'm really bad at this section, because I haven't played a great deal of games that came out this year.
Kerbal Space Program soundtrack.
Yeah, it's not Kerbal's, released this year. Kerbal's not released this year.
Does it have music? It had really good rocket sounds.
No, there's title screen movie and music, and that's it. You're quite right. No, I don't think I really have a nomination for this category. I
see most of it's kind of environmental kind of.
Yeah, thing. It's just because I haven't played a lot of those games like you guys have played, like Shovel Knight, and a lot of those games that builds a lot on. So
just say Interstellar. It's not a game, isn't it?
No,
best music, Destiny.
have any music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Music. Decent music.
Mm. No, I didn't really play a great deal of games where I thought the music was a standout focus of the game, unfortunately. Do you have anything, Jonathan?
With all these questions, I answered them in like just the first thing to mind.
Yeah. What do you think?
The first thing that came to mind for me was Love Trousers, or Luftrausers.
Oh, I should have thought about that. That's fantastic
sound. The music in that game is just like, fuck yeah, I want to blow up.
You get mad hype just listening to that. Yeah, it's like this military march. It kind of reminds me of Bionic Commando.
A bit like that. The thing that kind of irritates me about it, though, is that if you go through the game files, because I was expecting to find like a Hotline Miami kind of... you know, here's just a list of all the soundtracks. It's like just a list of layers that just play over the top of each other and make these awesome, different, random songs.
It makes sense.
And it makes sense, and it, you know, saves on a bit of space, and it gives you a bit of, you know, diversity. But I was just really disappointed that I couldn't just take them straight out of the game. But other than that, no, that game is... The music in that game just makes it so hyped to watch that. Even though you're kind of a Nazi, but whatever.
That's all right. The other guys are probably Nazis. They've got airships.
Yeah. They've got airships and submarines.
They knew how to dress well, certainly.
So, like best story.
Best story.
No one's got
Bayonetta 2. Oh God, no. I had to nominate Danganronpa, and by extension, Danganronpa 2.
That's
both
amazing.
Came out this year. Yeah. Really fantastic stories. Could not put those games down. I just had to know what was going on and what was going to happen next.
Yeah, that's my honorable mention. But my single nomination.
Well, I know what one. Well, if you've only got a single nomination, I know exactly.
No, I've got
what
two. Transistor is. Yeah.
Transistor's
like on most lists. Most disappointing game, Transistor. No, the story Transistor is much better than Bastion, I think, and it's subtle and it's interesting and it's well told and the narrative's good and it's not intrusive and it's still kind of like, I'm not exactly sure what's going on. You kind of have to figure things out for yourself, but there's enough there that you're not too confused.
Yeah, they're really good at storytelling.
And the ending was really satisfying. It was a nice length. I think it was about 5 hours long, and it just perfect length for that story, and I highly recommend anyone play it. Absolutely.
I guess mine would be, which is one of the ones that's on my Game of the Year list as well.
Kerbal Space Program. That time I landed on the moon. What a story.
It was my story.
Minecraft.
It was my greatest story. No, I really enjoyed the story in Tomb Raider.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I thought the story in Tomb Raider
was
really good.
Pretty shafted. No, the first one, is it? The Tomb Raider... I think that is the one I'm talking about. Is that the really sort of gritty, great? Yeah, no, that is. Didn't that get like absolutely shafted in reviews?
No, I thought it did well.
It was pretty well liked.
Oh, I thought it was really, really disliked. I didn't look at it.
Like, there was the issue that it didn't sell near what Square wanted it to,
but that's because they're really unrealistic expectations. Yeah,
but it's a good game, and it's had a really long tail on it, and I think it's doing well for them now, like on Steam sales and things like
that. Yeah, I had a lot of fun with it. It's not anything, you know. Storytelling is the main element of it, but it felt a lot like, you know, the Uncharted type games where the story is it's like a movie style storyline. Yeah. But I still had a lot of fun playing through it.
Nothing wrong with being led on rails, right? As long as
the rails are interesting.
As long as it's designed around being an on rails thing, and it's just a sequence of things.
Well, to draw a very close comparison, I mean, look at something like Uncharted.
Yeah,
that game is completely on rails. Well, and
Transistor
is
on rails.
It's a focused experience.
Danganronpa especially is exactly... I mean, it's basically a visual novel in terms of how on rails it is.
Yeah, because, I mean...
Except for the always one choice you can make to get the bad ending.
Oh, yeah, but that usually doesn't trail off very far.
Yeah, Tomb Raider for me it's the sort of game that I really like. Character action type game where you play through it, you blow up some shit, and story progresses at a fairly regular pace.
You've got some nice lows and some nice highs, and it just
more than 10 minutes without, you know, putting the story forward a bit further. I really like the environment, a lot of jumping on shit, yeah.
Now, unfortunately, I do have some terrible news for you, Will.
Yeah, mate.
Tomb Raider?
Yeah.
Last year.
Shit! I read it on this year's list.
Yeah, the definitive edition.
Oh, the remake.
That counts.
So can we just have cut that entire bit that Will was talking?
No,
just
leave
cut,
it in.
No,
there's nothing wrong with that. So have you got anything else that might count? Failing that, we'll
not
just
for story, no.
Okay.
Not for story.
Yeah, no, to be honest, other than those couple that we've already mentioned, I did struggle to sort of think of something that really did have a standout story.
Shall we go, instead of going straight to the Game of the Year, we'll go now to best game you've played this year that wasn't released in 2014.
For best story, I had a couple...
Oh yeah, you still got
Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
Transistor.
I wrote Dark Souls 2. I'm not even sure if that was released this year.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Yeah,
well,
Dark Souls 2 was
Yeah, no, Dark Souls 2, I was really... In the Dark Souls games, you're not really... It's not just like,
it's a decent story.
Yeah. Thing. But when it was first released, and like... You find the Lord Vessel down in that little hole in the manor. You're just like, I want to know more about that.
Yeah.
Like, tell me more. And yeah, no, just that, just like wanting to know more about...
It's the same kind of thing that's in all the Dark... Not all the Souls games,
Souls
right?
Games.
And I wonder if we're going to consider Bloodborne when that's released as part of the Souls
spiritual
series.
Successor.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, it's that kind of... it's
find
told through... Yeah, told through the environment, through the items and...
Yeah,
sort of character conversations, and I think the story in 2 was strong, not as strong as in Dark Souls, stronger than in Demon Souls, I think, but there wasn't much of a story in
Dark Souls. I really enjoyed.
Yeah,
I have a couple of honourable mentions, only because I've only played them this year. I don't think they were released this year, which is Gone Home and Limbo.
Limbo definitely not in Gone Home.
Gone Home
maybe really early this year.
That game,
it could have been early this year or really late last.
I think it was late last year. I was really bored one day and I was like, let's just install a game. Gone Home is like 2 gig, whatever. And I just played it. It lasted like an hour and a half, I think. Really, really short game. And you're literally just walking through this empty house, just finding like notes and stuff that...
No dice.
That you're,
August.
Last year, August? Okay.
It's alright.
Well, still
talking
about it.
But
aren't we talking about the best game you played?
No,
this year?
He hasn't got a story yet.
Alright.
Either way, you're just like finding notes that like that's left from your family and your sister, and it tells the story of like how she's like grown up while you're away and how she's changed and whatnot. And it's like this really touching story. Like,
and it's also not just the story of your sister. Like, it's not quite as obvious as that one, but there's also the what's happening with the mother and the father.
Yeah,
and, it's a really interesting story.
Details. And I really love that. You don't just like click E on this piece of paper that's like there. You like find it and you pick it up and you can like look around it and see all these like different
details. All the notes are like handwritten and the characters have different handwriting. So
yeah.
Much love has gone into this game.
Yeah, no. Like at the end of this game, I'm not ashamed to admit I was almost in tears when I finished it. It was really, really good.
As an aside, do you consider Gone Home a game, or
I
is it more of an interactive?
I would consider it an interactive story, but an interactive story. If there's an interactive element, I'd consider that to be a game.
I'd agree with that.
I would disagree
because
I don't think anything that's interactive is necessarily a game.
Well, I mean, if
I think a game by definition needs a goal. Which is why I struggle to think of like sandbox games as actual games. Like Minecraft draws an interesting comparison between it's more of like a Lego set rather than a game.
But I mean, Gone Home isn't anything near that.
But does the game?
I know, but that it's even further from that to the point where it's just
What would you consider Gone Home? And more importantly, what would you consider those sandbox games?
Sandboxes are just sandboxes, and there's a fuzzy line there where Minecraft I almost think is a game. Pretty certainly, but
it doesn't have its own goal.
I suppose, yeah, now it does
kill
have
the
a
Ender Dragon, but like after that, it doesn't end. You can just do that.
Yeah,
yeah. Times.
Whereas something like visual novels aren't games; they're just visual novels. There is interactivity. I mean, would you consider a Goosebumps book, like a Choose Your Own Story Goosebumps book, to be a game?
No, but
to a degree, I kind of would because you are
making
decisions.
Like a what was that series of books where you like had to do dice rolls and stuff? That's much more of a game, but I still wouldn't call it a game just because it's a book.
I'm not making a call one way or another, but I'm just interested to get what you think. Whether or not it's just an interactive story rather than a game.
Yeah, that is interesting. I'm not entirely sure now.
Careful, he's trying to fake you out. It can't be Game of the Year if you say it's not a game.
I'd consider it a perfectly valid if we're just talking about video games generally, but as a general topic, I think it's an interesting discussion.
Anyway, so shall we move to best game you've played this year that wasn't released in 2014?
What are we running as far as time's concerned?
We got about nearly 2 hours. We haven't got much longer to go.
Do you want to... Maybe we should leave that one for next week.
Yeah, should we save a few of these?
Sure, okay.
We can leave that one for next week.
We'll skip straight to overall game of the year, and then we've got most anticipated game of 2015 and best game you've played this year.
That we can probably shift to next week.
Yeah, I was just saying let's just do
our nominations for now, I think is probably a good idea, given that we're running...
So we're only going to check out these?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
So do you want to start with them?
Okay.
Honorable mentions.
Again, people who have been listening to previous episodes will know that I love me some Bayonetta 2, and I think that's the best game I've played this year. It's fun, it's funny, it's... The design is so tight, it's titillating, obviously.
Fair.
It's just... It takes what they built with the first Bayonetta, kicks it up a notch.
Just makes it just better all around.
It looks better, it plays better, it sounds better. Maybe not sounds better. I'm not going to say Moon River is better than Fly Me to the Moon.
Yeah.
But, that game is absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. Everyone who has a Wii U or access to a Wii U should play it. Another game that I really got super into this year was Shovel Knight. It plays like a game that was finished back in the 80s and never released, or one that was just forgotten to time. Everything about it is just such high quality. It looks great. It sounds great. I've played through it multiple times at this point, and then it finally came out on the European eShop, and I bought it again just so I could play it on the go. And then they announced at the PlayStation Experience recently that it's coming to Vita.
Which I think it'll be an excellent Vita
game. Yeah. I've already got a portable version. I probably don't need to buy this again. And they said, but it's got a new boss. And I said, sold.
When's that coming out?
I'm not sure. Sometime early 2015, I think.
Cool.
So yeah, looking forward to playing that again and again. the third game that I really super got into this year was Danganronpa. As I've already said, it's just...
You counting both of them?
I'm gonna say one, just because it was a fresher experience.
I'd recommend that
such,
too. That was
such
good.
An amazing story, and you know, it really makes you think. You got to kick it up to the hardest difficulty. And
don't skip on the difficulty.
Yeah, it's just really enjoyed that. So who's up next?
I'm gonna throw Dark Souls 2 into the mix.
Sure.
I mean, we've said things we're not... There's
it's still an amazing game.
That we haven't enjoyed. In Dark Souls, I think I enjoyed the atmosphere. I enjoyed the styling of it. I found maybe the combat at points, yes, got a touch repetitive, but I still came back wanting more. Had a lot of fun in that game. A couple of others, these are just so I can get a couple of things out there. Maybe not things that I consider to be a straight up game of the year contender, but games that I've really, really enjoyed this year. The Octodad game that came out. I thought, you know, it's just, there is an area for games that are very serious and very, you know, very story driven, but there's also very much an area for games that are just silly and you can just get in there and muck around and just have a dumb giggle at. I thought, the things they did in that, just so clever. The idea of, you know, this octopus creature, no one being able to recognize that is
actually an octopus
was just really, really funny.
It's such clever design too. Like, they've got this single mechanic and they make you do the most mundane things in human existence, and it's the most hilarious thing.
Yeah, you just got limbs and everything going everywhere.
Just adding on to what you said before about Dark Souls being game of the year, the soundtrack for Dark Souls, which is in your game files if you've bought it through Steam, is really, really, really good.
Okay.
Like, because I didn't want to put it down as story and soundtrack, but like
I put like Transistor on
the I got a few on there.
I answered all these questions within like 3 minutes and quickly looking up Wikipedia, but the soundtrack for it is really, really good. Like, some of the bosses, go back and just listen to that soundtrack and you're just like, Jesus Christ, this is why I was fucking freaking out. It's really good. Anyway, sorry, continue.
And in another game that's along a similar vein to Octodad is I just had a dumb, stupid amount, I mean, a fun in Ghost Simulator. Maybe it's something that Portlock wouldn't quite classify as a game because there's no, it's more, you know, character driven, you driven objectives rather than there being an overall directive to the game. but jumping around, licking stuff, just making everything
what about,
go.
What about the MMO? Would that then be a game?
I'd all still consider these things games.
Yeah.
But it's like, where do you draw the line exactly?
Also, if you read the abbreviation for Game of the Year as a word, it's GOTY.
Very true. It's a shoo-in. So, yeah, I mean, maybe that's more of an honourable mention from me, but I had a lot of fun in that game. The idea that you can get a game that is glitchy and it's buggy.
Oh, yeah, and they don't fix the bugs unless they crash the game.
Better for it.
And yeah. it's just
I
so much better
for
it.
An achievement for crashing the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's my short list there. So I think Dark Souls 2 is my big nomination out of those. I was going to say Tomb Raider, but we discovered that was released last year, so I should have done my research a little bit more heavily. And my two honourable mentions are Octodad and Goat Simulator.
So in terms of just because I answered these questions just.
That's all right.
Game of the year, what was the most fun I had in a game this year? Just stupid fun enjoyment, and that was Goat Simulator. I had an incredible amount of fun, you know, in tears laughing at this game, just because it was so stupid. And yeah, like, there's no story, there's no soundtrack, it is just stupid, silly fun. That being said, though, it's a real cop-out, but recently played the... haven't finished it. Haven't gotten anywhere near through finishing it. The Resident Evil 4 HD remake that was released this year, which is a real... I mean, that's cheating.
Can I count that?
It's like, an HD remake. No.
I wouldn't.
Consider that an honorable mention, because the game was released like ages ago back on the GameCube, but like...
Otherwise, I'd say like the HD remake of Final Fantasy X is pretty good.
That's another really, really fun, challenging game. But I wasn't, you know, in.
Do you make any other nominations for us to check out?
I can't really think of anything because, you know, I don't like paying like $70 for a new game, so I'll play them quite a while later. Like
Shadows of Mordor.
Not
a game of the year.
No, definitely not game of the year.
It's got some stuff going on, but it's definitely not the best game.
It's fun to play, but Jesus Christ, I just don't care about any of the story. One thing I will rant about that game is that the ending is the worst ending I've ever played in a game this year. Like, I don't know if you remember it, but...
I didn't finish it. I got bored halfway through.
You should play Lightning Returns, then.
Oh, slap you.
He already knows the ending.
He's been spared. If you guys want me to sort of spoil the ending for you...
I'll probably play it at some point.
Yeah, I'll probably play it, too.
It's worth getting up to just because it's like, wow, that's... All right. But anyway, no, that I wouldn't consider that as a contender for Game of the Year. Yeah.
Okay. I got, like, half of the same stuff as Ben. So, Danganronpa... Definitely. It might be difficult to check out unless you like play through it, but you might be able to give it a go on Ben's PSP.
We can play the first story of...
Play the first case. It's worth doing. Super excellent premise. I just picked it up. Ben said... I was like, oh yeah, I'm looking for something to play.
You were going away and you were looking for portable games to play. So
Ben said, have my PSP with the fan translation. Yeah, and then I played all the way through it. I'm like, oh my god, this is amazing. Because it's like the perfect game for me where I can make all the guesses I want.
That's the goal of the game.
Oh, there's a funny bit, just as an aside, in Danganronpa 2, where there are like these little vignette kind of things where Monokuma, who's like the kind of primary antagonist, like makes just some comments to you. And
Is this going to give away the big spoiler for the first game?
No.
The one where he gives it away in the second one, like right near the start.
No. This is something different. He's talking to you with Monomi, and he says, "Would you like to guess the killer?" Halfway through the case, he says, "Would you like to guess the killer? If you get it right, you'll get $1 billion, and if you get it wrong, I'll delete your save." So it says, "Would you like to? Yes or no?" I'm like, "Sure, I'll give it a go." He says, "Haha, just kidding. I'm not risking $1 billion." But you're like, you're guessing, and it's like, there's enough there that you could figure it out, but there are like some twists and turns during each of the cases that are like, this isn't quite exactly what you think it is, especially even in the first case where I'm like, because of the way it's set up, it's like, oh yeah.
They don't hide it real well.
No, I know exactly who this is through the first case. And then
you still don't know exactly what
happens. Exactly what happens. And then there's like a twist in the first case and it's like, oh my. Okay, so that's how it is. Anyway, you should check it out. It's really good. And Dark Souls 2, of course. I 100% completed that game. Got the Platinum Trophy or whatever they call it on Steam. And my final nomination game of the year is obviously Transistor. Like, it's only 5 hours long. You need to play through it.
I'm detecting excellent. A theme in your suggestions.
It got best soundtrack, best story in game of the year, I think. Because it's just so solid. The length is right. The style is right. The characters are great. The story's really well told. Soundtrack's amazing. And overall, just like, you finish it and it's like, this is a satisfying
experience. The last boss fight felt like something like a platinum game.
First, last boss fight, it just like builds up to this awesome thing and it's like, oh my god, I can't believe that they're doing this. It's so good. And then there's like a bit at the end where it's like, but now I have to play through it again, kind of, because like the second time you play it through it, something kind of changes. And there's like a lot of fan stuff that you can kind of figure out. It's like, is this exactly what's going on? Exactly what's happened? Like, not everything is explained to you. Definitely check it out. It's really short. You can probably get it through my Steam sharing. It's amazing.
Yeah, definitely check it out. Still broken for me, but we'll just sort that out later.
100% have a look. Cool. So is that us pretty much taken care of? Do you want to just read out the shortlist again there, Paul?
So, shortlist. People's Game of the Year nominations. We've got Ben with Shovel Knight. Ben with Bayonetta 2. Me and Ben with Danganronpa. Dark Souls 2 is pretty much everyone. Will with Octodad. Will and Jonathan with Goat Simulator, and me with Transistor.
Ooh, high five.
Cool. So if everyone was listeners at home, if you have a game nomination that we would like us to check out,
game of the year.
Seriously, a single email. Are we going to read out the emails? I don't think we have enough time.
I had one yesterday. No one's emailed.
No, you said we were going to read out the Podomatic.
Oh, yeah, right. The Podomatic. I will at the very least double check to make sure that we haven't got someone. So
Stall for time. So if you do want to email us, please, someone email us. Single person.
Even if you don't want to email us, just email us anyway.
Just email us. podcast@itsallcanon.com.
Mm-hmm.
So next year.
Well, actually, it will be probably
next week. I don't know. Whenever the next podcast is, we'll talk about. Talk about the game nominations. We'll be talking about best game that we played that wasn't released in 2014, and our most anticipated games in 2015, of which the list is gigantic.
Yeah, I got a few on
and
there.
There is a lot coming out in March. It's like, I won't talk about it, but there's so much stuff in like a short period.
January 27.
What's coming out?
GTA 5. It's coming out on PC.
GTA 5 for PC.
Oh, I don't care about GTA.
Fuck you!
Don't you want to play as Trevor?
No, I want to play as a fucking cat.
Don't you want to raise dogs?
Sure, I'll play it, but GTA has never been something that I've been that fussed about, really.
You got that email there, Ben?
Yep. So we've got a weekly stats report. Apparently our name is Itz.
we'll fix it later.
Had 12 downloads last week and 2 listens.
Yay! Woo! We love you, 2 listeners.
Yeah, please email us.
Keep it up.
Alright, so
thank you for listening. I think that's about it, yeah?
Yeah, I think that's it. That's it.
Yeah, okay.
So from all of us here, and it's all canon now, I'd like to extend my warmest...
Oh, yeah, season's greetings. We're having a Christmas thing this...
it's a Christmas miracle.
We're watching Santa with Muscles. Which is
You're not even kidding.
Oh, Santa with Muscles starring Hulk Hogan as a Christmas movie tonight.
That's terrifying. What if does regular Santa not have muscles?
I don't know. I don't know anything
Santa
about
Santa and Skeletor. Have you ever seen them in different? Like, yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Merry. Okay, so I'll fade in
just
the jingle bells again.
That.
Yeah. No, fade in the jingle bells again. And
don't do jingle bells. Just do like a cat like collar.
Yeah, that seems like a lot of work considering we don't have any cats.
Jingle cat.
Anyway, okay.
Hair is
we're going to be fading out, so everyone say something. Goodbye.
Goodbye, my name is Will.
Oh, we're fading out of the
valley. See you later, guys.
I'm watching you.